I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. It's episode 548. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. If you haven't looked at the time frame of this episode, it's a long one. It kind of turned into it's a BS session, but we're just kind of going with the flow of like a hunting camp podcast. So be warned. There's a lot of crazy jokes in here, possibly offensive jokes, us being sarcastic, stuff like that. Stuff you normally get with Working Class Bowhunter. And it's 3 hours long. So there's your pre-warning. Don't message me or any of our crew about it. And if you listen to the whole thing anyway, then and you're still going to complain, it just seemed like you had nothing better to do. So you should be thankful that we kept you entertained. So everyone else that's here to enjoy fun and hunting camp and all that with us, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. We talk about this in the podcast, our South Africa hunting clinic that we're hosting January 7th at the Hitching Post in West Point, Iowa. Starts at 2 p.m. It is free. Free to show up and get this information and hang out with us. There's going to be a bar there, and of course, right? And then Stuart from Pringle Safaris is going to be throwing together special hunt packaging for you guys that attend in person. We have been getting a lot of requests that people can't make it in person to live stream this, and we're leaning yes on the live stream, but we'll probably cut the live stream short when it comes to like getting the special hunt pricing and the stuff that the benefits people are going to get in person. So just kind of keep that in mind, but check that out. January 7th, West Point, Iowa, the Hitching Post, just up the road from Old Barn Taxidermy. So if you've ever wanted to check out Old Barn, it's a perfect time. Should go early, swing by, check out their facility, and then shoot right up the road to West Point, Iowa. Make sure if you're going to go to Old Barn, show up early enough. That way we're not all at the venue for the clinic. So that's coming up. We're going to walk you through everything. Like the clinic starts, oh, I have an idea. I want to go to Africa. That's where it starts. We're going to come from the idea to you getting back and then getting your taxidermy back and everything else. So we're really excited about it. It's the first time we've ever done something like this, but we're all going to hang out and have a good time. So even if you're not that interested in showing up, you just want to come drink some beers and hang out, by all means, come on out. We're going to have some fun. The podcast is brought to you by Big Time. Code WCB2022. That'll be good until 2023, and then the code will change. Be thinking about your spring food plots. Be thinking about frost seeding. I did foundation clover on my frost seed, and it's amazing. But they have foundation clover, clover select. Then, you can plant really these plots anytime, but like our favorite fall plots, main event, buck brunch is like one of the favorites, last stand. Borderline's great for bordering out your food plots and stuff like that for security. We did all that this spring. Turned out great. So check out Big Time, code WCB2022, and tell them we sent you. Or just use the code and they'll be like, oh shit, WCB sent them. Check out Huntworth as well. Did you guys see the video I did, like our top picks for whitetail gear from Huntworth? Covered most of the basics until like the frigid cold comes in. But they have a heat boost line out right now. Go to huntworthgear.com. You can use code WCB15 to save money on really everything on the website. But the Huntworth heat boost gear is kind of like the new, no pun intended, hot items from Huntworth. Gloves, pants, vests, jackets, bib overalls, all that stuff. Check them out. You can get them in whatever camo pattern you really want. Tarnin's probably our favorite right now as a crew. So check out huntworthgear.com. Use code WCB15. Loophole Optics. Featured Loophole Optics item this week is the RX Full Draw 5. It is built for the bow hunter or the competitive archer. It just feels like quality. I hate when you hit like something cheap and you're clicking that button 1,000 times to try and get your range. This thing's responsive. It's fast. There is a red LED readout screen. Me and Michael were having a bet. I was trying to bet against a guy that works at Loophole here in the studio that mine was black. and I lost that bet. But check it out, the RX Full Draw 5. They have a bunch of different archery range finders. That's the one that we're all using right now, and we absolutely love it. The podcast is also brought to you by Novix Tree Stands, made in the USA. And it still blows my mind that in the Working Class Bowhunters group we have on Facebook, that there's people still like trusting their life at 20 feet, 25 feet, 30 feet on like Chinese shit. Like, what are we doing? Let's wake up a little bit. Let's support American companies. And Novix Tree Stands is exactly that. Code WCB22. This week, we're going to talk about the Hilo. There's always that debate. Do I get the Echo, which is normally the little larger? Well, it is the larger platform, the larger stand. The Hilo is your more compact, mobile size stand. Now, I like the Hilo because of the ability to hang it in tighter spots in a tree. You can tuck it in. I think you can hide it a little better. And comfort is there still for the size of the stand. And a little tip, if you ever get in your Hilo, if you're like, the platform feels small, like if you're a stander or a sitter or a leaner, I get in. What I do, even if it's level, I tip my seat back so it's kind of reclined a little bit. And I find that makes the platform feel bigger, like when you're sitting. Hard to explain, but that's my little hack that I do. If I'm like, I might be leaning forward or I need a little extra like comfort, tilt that seat back. You stay tucked into the tree. Super nice. Code WCB22, Novix Tree Stands. All right, we're getting on with the show. Hope you enjoy it. This is a long one. It's a fun one. And let us know what you think. We appreciate all the comments, shares, all that stuff. So hopefully we see you out in West Point at the clinic. And thanks for being here. We love you. Enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Experience here on Working Class Bowhunter.
Oops.
I'm just starting doing that because our name is so repetitive in our intro. It's just funny to introduce us to somebody else. I did that to Aaron Blicey a couple weeks ago, and I guess people were messaging him about it.
Oops.
Yeah, sorry. I think this is episode 548 of the Working Class Bowhunter. Kurt Geyer speaking.
Eric Hammon.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
Then we have two guests this week. Our beloved owner of Old Barn Taxidermy, Sam Gaylord's in the house.
How you doing, boys?
Good to see you, buddy. We love you.
Good to see you, too. We love you, too.
And our other beloved South African homie, Stuart Pringle.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
South African, Texan, everything else.
African-American.
Okay.
African-American.
Hey, our favorite African-American.
Yeah, sure.
Stuart Pringle's in the house. We also love you, Stuart.
Oh, love you, boys.
Glad to have you in, man.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
And then Jacob Johnson's also in here, a plus one on Austin's mic.
Howdy doody. This is me, Jacob Johnson.
Howdy doody. And then sitting auxiliary off the mic, drinking a Lord's Old Fashioned, Jordan Ginsmer from Pull Back and Let Go is also in here, making sure we behave. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
The podcast is sponsored by Pull Back and Let Go, for the record. Check them out. They have a new storefront. There's an episode coming. You should tune into that, too. We got some fun things to talk about. We're going to go into this.
Have a lot of things to talk about.
We're going raw dog, man, and that's the best way to do it. Am I right, Doug?
100%.
Doug's specialty, ain't it?
That's what you excel in is raw dogging, and that's what we're here to do. Raw dog conversation with the boys.
Next question.
Dude, it's funny. My wife, she absolutely hates it whenever I say that. I say that quite frequently.
Raw dog?
Yeah, we just go into something like half-cocked. It's like, hey, I'm going to raw dog it this night.
Listen, honey.
Listen here.
You know what this is about. You know, okay, so I did the intro for last week's podcast with Drone Deer Recovery. Just before we get into the meat and taters, I teased some teasers.
I
didn't really give a full, I didn't make a teaser. I didn't really tease some teasers, but I think we could announce it right now, what we got coming. Jacob,
oh, yeah.
Grab that mic a little bit. Okay. So, this is a more of a direct teaser.
We're doing it now.
Might as well, right?
He's here.
It's coming hot.
Let's go. Bang, bang. Here we are. This raw dog, dude. Uh-huh.
So the reason,
what I'm here for.
The reason why I wanted to start teasing and announcing this, because I've been seeing some comments on the Working Class Bowhunters page and some other stuff about, like, hey, what other podcasts besides WCB? We mostly focus on bow hunting. Of course, it's in our name. But WCB is presenting a new show from scratch with your host, Jacob Johnson.
Hey.
Explain it. What are we doing?
All right. Well, we're going to start a show. Kurt and I, we talked about this quite a while ago and kind of finally started getting the ball rolling on it. But it's just kind of one of those things you need to build up. And once the timing is right, then, you know, unleash, I guess. But it's going to be called Victory Drive. It's going to be more of a gun-oriented podcast. So it's going to be... It's the one thing in the group too, you know, we always see like during this time of year, right? It's gun season in Iowa, Illinois, and everywhere else in the Midwest. And people are excited about what they shoot. And then they post a picture of a buck or something like that they shot with their gun. And you always see, there's always that one or two assholes that are on there like, oh, I thought this was a fucking a bow hunting page or a bow hunting site or bow hunting this. And it's like, that's great. And yes, it is. But, you know, it's just going to make
still a part of our community.
Well, yeah, still part of deer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all part of the community. It's all, like, we all are in the same umbrella, you know, in the hunting community and stuff. So we're going to start a more of a gun-oriented podcast under the Working Class Bowhunter umbrella.
The question is, do you know anything about guns?
I've shot a few. So,
How many guns have you shot?
Well, I guess more than you. What we should explain on without going too far into detail is, like, you know, we're covering everything from gun hunting to three gun to precision to ballistics to military stories to all the stuff. And and you're the perfect host for that. We're lucky to have discovered you. I feel like you're our boy band. You're our Backstreet Boys. We're going to take you to the top.
Thanks, man.
And you're going to make us a lot of money.
I'll ride it. I'm not afraid to say it.
Okay.
Right. Just that one trip.
No, it's
raw dog.
That one trip to Nebraska.
Yeah. That one trip half-cocked. We raw dogged that trip.
To Nebraska,
Yeah, it was rough, actually. So we made it. But I guess background, I was in the Army for a while. I grew up around guns, and guns have always been my first... like love, I guess. I didn't get into bow hunting until I was in my late 20s. I was like, what? I don't know. 4 years ago, I think now.
Yeah.
2018 when I got into bow hunting and stuff. So I'm still fairly new to it, but I've been around guns my entire life and spent a few years in the Army. Did a lot of stuff there. And it's going to cover basically everything, like gun hunting stuff, ballistics, like long range shooting. I have a couple friends that were snipers and stuff when we were in the military together. So
that's what I'm
really
looking
good,
to
really
those
good
stories.
Things. A lot of good, some war stories, some Army stuff or whatever you want to talk about, and three gun, like all that shit. It's gonna be all in there in due time. And it's not gonna be a podcast where you go to tune in every week and be like, oh yeah, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tune in for strictly an hour of tips and tricks and how to do this and how to's. It's gonna be a laid back show like Working Class Bowhunter, where it's like, you know, we cover that stuff, but we also have fun with it. We're not just, it's not just me talking to a microphone, like,
and that's
thinking I know everything, you know?
That's why we're putting our stamp on it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's one that I'll actually like listen to. So
bang, bang.
We're excited to bring that to you. So that should be coming first of the year, that podcast.
Yeah.
Victory Drive. We'll post everything on it here on the socials and you guys will see that. But we're really excited about it and we're glad to have you on board with the
thank you.
Team WCB. You're a WCB producer.
Yeah, man.
So exciting
that's
stuff.
Nice. Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm very, very excited about it. And I thank you guys for trusting me to not sound like a complete fucking idiot. So,
well, we sound like idiots every week.
So. Exactly. Well, it's not over yet.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Just beginning.
Shooting ourselves in the foot before we get going.
You're a producer. You're one step above Doug already.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, cool. Good for you.
Good for you.
So that's an exciting teaser that's coming. I feel like I don't talk loud enough after hearing your voice on the mic. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to.
Oh, sorry.
You know, why? You don't apologize.
I can't hear myself right now. I don't have the headphones
on. Your voice,
sorry,
man.
For being a man.
Yeah. Sorry. Maybe
we're just a bunch of bitches compared to
when you hit puberty one day.
Yeah. When you guys' balls drop, you'll understand.
Yeah.
You know? So looking forward to that, someday. Jacob. So that's gonna be fun.
I also smoked a lot of cigarettes back in the day. So
did you?
Yeah,
in the military.
Oh yeah.
Well, that adds up to a great voice.
It does. You gotta get a little gravel in there.
Worked out great for you.
Ate some glass.
Yeah, a little sawdust.
Smoke cigarettes.
Oh,
you know, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
I was gonna say a joke, but I don't think it was appropriate. Can I say
you're gonna quit? I don't
care.
You're gonna quit now after 548 episodes
and killed a lot of Taliban.
I mean, we didn't go there to handshakes and give a hug. So okay. I mean,
a lot of stories to uncover with this series.
You didn't go there for a haircut.
No, I mean, weird haircuts there too, though. By the way, very weird.
I love it. Well, that's exciting, man. So appreciate that. Hopefully, that's a good enough teaser for everybody. I don't know how more direct it gets than that. But let's talk. Let's just talk because we got. Well, first of all, I think the first thing we need to talk about and get this on the roster here is we have a South Africa hunting clinic coming up. Pringle Safaris is putting this on, presented by Old Barn Taxidermy and Working Class Bowhunter. We're all in the studio right now.
Yep.
January 7th, 2 p.m., the Hitching Post in West Point, Iowa. We are going to cover everything, really, you need to know to get to South Africa and hunt. And Stuart's going to basically run you through everything. We're all going to be there, answer questions. And we're talking booking your flight to getting your taxidermy home and everything in between is the goal. So has anyone ever done anything like this that you guys know about, Stuart or Sam?
I don't think so.
Nope. No?
We kind of did one, 3 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was, I think it was,
Before COVID.
2018.
And that's when I actually met Stuart, was back then. We had a old barn event we called a Cabin Fever.
That's right.
And we brought Stuart in and some guys from Australia. And
that's right, yeah.
I mean, we had a hell of a nice, it was fun. But we didn't sit down and actually give a seminar.
No.
Right. It was just a meet greet, you know, eat chili, drink beer.
Yeah, which is so cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah,
this is probably more of a seminar than a clinic, but a clinic really is more of a how-to.
Yeah.
How to accomplish your goal.
Yeah, it's answering all those questions that the guys have, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the last time we were just promoting ourselves. Hey, so,
yeah.
Just giving the guys ideas of what we have to offer. And, of course, we had those damn Australians. And, holy smokes, I think we were more drunk than we were sober.
They're drinkers, man. Huh?
Oh, shit. I know. Those bastards are something else. I mean, I think it took me a week to recover, but anyway.
No kidding. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
I just walked home.
Were they just drink Foster's the whole time?
No, shit. No,
they'd drink anything.
You can't be racist against Australians, Kurt.
No, I think...
Gay hater hates Australians, yeah. Noted.
I think those bosses drink F-gas or something because there's just no end to them. It's
no kidding. I never would have guessed that.
It's a ball.
Yeah. I got to
I can say it's a ball.
And I think it was a Super Bowl weekend too.
It was
ugly.
Just made it worse. Yeah. Well, I think the main goal when we talked about this, because we went to Africa, Sam made the connection to Stuart with our crew.
Yep.
Very thankful for that, man. It's like good people find good people.
That's
just
always
a beautiful thing. And
always.
Love and cherish the friendships forever. Excuse you, Eric. But we all went to Africa and we all had this love for it instantly. It was like, dude, this whole experience, people that have never considered it are missing out. And I think all of our attitudes, I really confidently think I can speak for all of us when I say, if you love bow hunting, you have to go to Africa one time in your life.
Yeah,
it's just an experience we think you need to have.
Yep.
Insane.
And once you have it, I think you get home and you're like, man, that was awesome.
Well, I mean, we've said it before, too. It's like everyone we talked to has been over there, like, once you go, you will want to go back. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm like, I don't know if that's true because, like, it was never really – it's on my list, but it wasn't on my list yet. But once we got the opportunity to go, I'm like, okay, we'll go.
After the first day, you're like
– first day, you're like, first kill, you're like, yeah, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for sure.
Right away.
Well, and that dude that we met in the airport, too, he was really talking about that a lot.
At the Chicago airport, not we hadn't even left yet. and he's like, dude.
Hey, we met him before you got to the airport.
Oh, yeah. We already covered that.
We had talked about
we
that.
We already covered that.
But I guess, you know, that having that passion when we got home and talking with both of you guys, Sam and Stuart, were like, we need to do something to make people realize how attainable this really is, because it's not, people think Gymshocky Africa, hippos and leopards and Cape Buffalo and all that. And it's like, that stuff's cool, but that's like the expensive stuff. Like, you're going to spend real money for that. And it might not even be as expensive as you think for that type of stuff. But if you want to go kill the animals that I think they're all cool, but like impala and kudu or a sable and zebra and like badass and waterbuck, badass horned animals, it's not nearly as much as you think, and it's so attainable.
100%. Yeah.
So I think that's what got the ball rolling with all of us, you know, as a whole group. It's just like, we need to do something to show people how amazing this really is, and then make people feel comfortable, because it's scary.
Yep.
Well, I think right now, as a community that does not know, people fear that travel.
They do.
And that's they fear the Taliban. I mean, that's what we hear, you know. Africa's full of Taliban, you know. Yeah. And I asked you, Kurt, did you feel safe? And you said, 100% I felt safe.
Yep.
Feels nice going in a big group, too. If you can bring two or three or four buddies with you and do it, it's a fun trip. We brought our wives with us. I mean, that's how safe we felt. You know, yeah. It was awesome.
You want to bring a guy that's killed Taliban with you.
I say, especially when you got a guy that looks like Jacob with you, you feel a little more comfortable.
I'm going in June or July. When am I going?
July, yeah.
You better go with us.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right. Rock on.
I'll take a trip to Africa anytime.
You know, I'm old, so I need somebody to back me up. You know,
you need that bodyguard when you arrive at the airport.
I do.
But yeah, we arrive there as bodyguards. I'm just kidding. I mean, you know,
5 hours
later. Five hours later. You don't need bodyguards in Africa. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, social media and media have killed the country because of the political instability and whatever else it is. But it's safer than Chicago. It's safer than any of the cities, you know. I mean, any large city in Africa or in the world, you go down and you go down the wrong alley. You're going to run into crap.
If you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it.
You're going to find it. So, unfortunately, you know, fortunately, we avoid all that crap. So, we have meets and greets at the airport just to make, except 5 hours later. But generally, there's nothing like waking up at 5 o'clock with this booming voice, Stuart, where are you? I think I was more afraid of that voice than a charging Cape Buffalo.
But, I'll be there soon, Liam.
I'll be there. Let me round up the troops and get my ass out of there. But
he still has nightmares of Jacob's voice.
Oh, jeez, I wake up in a sweat.
I'm on time.
But just coming back to that whole thing, you know, we have meet and greet systems where we try and make everyone feel safe, and you know, and we talk right up to the point of arrival and have the guys there. Generally, we'll have somebody out there. If you're flying in with firearms, we have the lady that's that does the clearance and the permits and that. But obviously, with bow, you don't need that. So it's basically it arrives with your luggage, you know.
Yep.
So it makes it a lot easier for a bow hunter. You don't have to go through all that paperwork and the permits and the temporary import permits and that. But you know, it's pretty safe because you know you jump into your vehicles and you get the hell out of town, you know, and the whole city. And we try and get to the hunting areas as quickly as we possibly can, because that's what you've come to do.
Yep.
I mean, we can do the city, you know, excursions afterwards and show a little bit of this and that and, you know, the
tourist
trinkets
shit.
and all that type of stuff. But ideally, you guys are paid for a trip and we want to get you into the hunting area as quickly as we can, you know. So,
yeah,
that's the goal.
And I think, you know, Sam, you hit the nail on the head there. It's like the travel scares people. It's so far away. It's a different country. It's blah, blah, blah. The flight is long. How am I going to get my bow there?
Is all my stuff going to show up?
Like, yeah. That's like I think that's the biggest thing that keeps people from thinking about Africa. Yeah. It's so far away. And that's where they stop with Africa. But this is what's going to be so great about this clinic, which, by the way, we're talking about live streaming it.
Yep.
There is going to be special like hunt packages for attendees if you're there that we'll cover at the end. So we'll probably just cut the live. So we're talking about doing like a Facebook Live and an Instagram Live if we have to do it. We'll figure that out. But we're leaning yes. We were leaning no before the podcast. We talked through it. So we are leaning yes to live stream it so that info is out there so you guys can we'll try and schedule that live stream, maybe start at like 2:30. We'll let you guys
know. And we'll let you guys know, too, like when it gets closer, if we're going to go live or not, for sure. But
yeah. So, but I think that's going to be the best thing about this is like meeting Stuart, meeting some of his guys, having Stuart explain to you when you arrive, this is what your stay is going to be like. You're not staying in like shitty shacks like you might think if you don't know any better. This is nice stuff. It's nicer than hotels you'll stay in the States.
Oh, for sure.
And I think if you don't know that, you just don't know.
Right. So it's not a tent with a mosquito net.
No, I mean, we don't have mosquito problems in most of our areas. Yes, you have every now and then, you know, all I say to guys, just make sure you drink enough gin and tonic so if the mosquito does bite, he's not going to get through, you know.
Yes. But
we don't have malaria, you know, in all our areas, except if you start going north and you start looking at going
like bongo
into,
or something.
If you're gonna have a bongo. Yeah. Well, anything.
A bongo's an animal, right? Am I right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a badass animal.
Central Africa and the Congo is where you hunt bongo.
I thought you meant you were trying to say Congo.
Oh, come on.
Bongo in the Congo.
He's cultured now.
I know animals.
Yeah, there you go.
Put that pinky up. That's right.
But, yeah, so.
Suck my dick, Eric.
My guy.
My guy. Sorry, Stuart.
No. It's just coming back to that. You know, it's all about knowing and being able to ask the questions. So it's terribly tough when people are just going to something blind.
Right.
You know, and like with you guys, we had a lot of phone call conversations where, you know, you were asking all the questions. And I think, you know, the rest of the guys were going, oh, shit, what are we in for? You know, you relayed what I was telling you to them.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think this is a fantastic opportunity, especially, you know, well, thanks for Sam, you know, his contribution to the whole thing where we can actually talk about it. We can, from, you know, when you decide to come, how, you know, your money doesn't leave the country until pretty much you do, then I transfer it because I've got a, you know, we've got the American account. So your money gets transferred, it's held here until right before you guys come out. And then we transfer it across to, you know, to the different ranches and that. So everything happens here in the U.S. And then once we're there, we obviously try and settle a lot of it up with cash and all that at the end, which you guys did, which was fantastic because we can negotiate a lot better when we've got the old greenbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love it.
It just makes it so much easier because, I mean, we're in a corrupt government. We're in a corrupt system in Africa, and it's not just South Africa. I guess it's all over the bloody
world. It's not corrupt here, is it?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
No,
Biden's our president, Sam. How dare you?
Yeah.
Zero greed here, especially from the government.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I heard today that Elon bought the FBI from the Clintons.
Dude, I'm an Elon Musk fan right now. Yeah. Hey, he's probably the richest African American, isn't he?
Yep. He comes from my town. Well, not my town, but my country. So
yeah, Stuart grew up with him. Didn't you know that?
I didn't know the fuck until he was famous. So.
He got famous and don't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, we used to ride bicycles together. And no, I'm kidding.
Now he's got an electric bicycle.
What a dick.
Yeah.
He just looks down. He's like, man, what did Stuart do with his life? He's such a cool
kid.
He's
guiding hunts.
Yeah. What a fag. How's hunting over there?
Yeah. What is he doing? That's a dying country. I mean, they don't even speak their own languages anymore.
But I do think it's going to be a ton of fun. Not only is it going to have like, I really do think, because we're going to bullshit with everyone before we're going to do this, and we're going to bullshit and even take more questions and tell stories, and we're going to have hunting camp after this. Mm-hmm.
We have two bartenders for this thing.
Two
freaking bartenders.
Plus West Point hosts the Sweet Corn Festival, so you know they know how to throw a party.
Oh, my.
But here's the thing. Here's what I want to tell people. Crawling. If you're in our area, a couple hour drive, even if it's not on your radar, come hear us out. we're not charging admission.
No,
we're gonna take tips. We do have money put into this for the venue, and we're gonna
if it's on your radar 10 years out, like come learn about it.
Well, you got to start planning now. It's better if you know now.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Well, it's better if you know somebody that knows somebody that's been there.
Yeah, that's right.
Agreed.
And then you're not going in blind.
But we think even if it's kind of like it's not high on my list, but I'd like it's free information.
Yep.
Come out. I think
it's a party.
It's going to be a party. We're going to have a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. We've never really done anything like educational like this.
You're idiots.
I heard there's rumor to be a real lion there.
You got to find out. You got to come show up.
Tiger King.
Douglas, don't put any pressure on me.
If you can get a real lion, that'd be great. A lion.
Shows up with a house cat. It's the best I could do.
We need that Tiger King dude, but we don't have tigers in Africa.
This doesn't make any sense. But if we just make it up, then no one's going to know a difference. Yeah.
We'll just get a tiger and spray paint it a tawny color.
It's just
color,
like a fake mane on it.
Yeah. And we'll just say, it's a dog.
It's a lab.
We'll just call it the Lion of Tsavu, those maneless lions that kill all those railway workers. So there you go.
Well, if you want to think about it this way too, you could think about it as like the beginning of trade show season, except this is not it's like the working class bow hunter African trade show.
Yeah.
If you want to think about that way. If you don't want to think about it like, oh, they're gonna try suckering me into a fucking African trip because for whatever reason. Like a fun trade show. You come out and hang out with the boys, drink some beers, and have a good time.
We're not going to sell you timeshare.
Yeah, no. You literally don't have to pay for anything unless you want to give us a tip for some of our expenses, and if you want to go to the bar and buy a beer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's on you.
The whole thing is geared around hunters sharing information.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we're all hunters. It doesn't matter if you bow, rifle, you know,
American powder,
or whatever it is. You know, you're there to just come and have fun and see what it's all about and learn something. You know, I think the biggest problem with Africa is people just don't know enough about it.
They don't.
You know, and we all go, oh, we heard this from that guy and from social media. Social media is a whole lot of horse crap, but, you know, when it comes to information.
Mm-hmm.
So come and get it. You know, my partner Nathan's going to be there. So we're going to have two guys that born and bred, you know, in South Africa that will give you the ins and outs, you know, that have lived through shit, I mean, you know, from 1970 all the way through to now, you know, so, and we've seen the country change, you know, and obviously we've lived through apartheid and whatever else, and, you know, everyone goes, oh, apartheid, you racist bastards and whatever it is, but, you know, we didn't create it, we moved on, you know, we didn't create apartheid, you know, it was just a part of our life.
Right, oh, right.
You know, Africa, throughout Africa, from north to south, was colonized, you know. So that's how we learned as a white person what Africa was about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I mean, I can go into the history and when this tribe moved in and that tribe moved in and this first white colonial group and the British and whatever. But, you know, the whole thing about Africa is this clinic is the perfect example to come and learn about it, how to get there, what it take, what to expect, and just the ins and outs of how you can, you know, save up for it. You know, we talk from basically planning your trip from your deposit all the way through to getting the taxidermy home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a fantastic thing, especially having Sam here who can explain all that to, as well. But, you know, from my side, I'd love you guys to come and talk to me. I speak a little funnily, but, you know, I'm sure you buggers will understand me. And the more I drink, the smoother I talk.
So. Yeah, we'll get a few shots in him. It'll be flowing like water.
It starts coming up, hey, dude.
Yeah. Then it's a lot easier. Then you'll understand.
Man. Starts doing this.
Yeah, when I start throwing the fingers up and calling you dude and all that, then it's.
Hey, bro. Hey, I'm loose. Kudu.
Now, Nathan, on the other hand. Nathan, you got to have a...
Nathan gives you that South African vibe. Yeah. You got to... And he's a fun dude.
He is a good dude.
He's a fun dude. I'm really looking forward to the camaraderie of it. I think there's going to be a lot of friends made at this.
100%.
Which is what it's about, really.
Yeah.
And you know what? What we're going to try and do is pin down when we're going back. So if you guys want to go with us, who we've been, we know Stuart, we know Sam. When we go back, you guys will have a chance to go when we go. So we can all go and share that camp together. We've already been. So if you need that, like, comfort, we get it. It's uncomfortable
to travel to an unknown place to do unknown things. It's uncomfortable.
But now we experienced it. We kind of have an idea. We kind of have an idea of what's going on, so we'll get you through it.
Well, some guys don't have the ride and die to go with him.
Right. No. Right.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, it's better when you got a group.
Yep. That is,
you know,
so
some guys
true.
Don't have that group. They don't have them. That
Sam, I'm glad you said that. We get a lot of messages from guys that are like, man, I want to go out west, but I don't really want to go alone. Yeah. I don't have any buddies that will really commit.
Yeah.
We could be your buddies that'll commit.
Yeah. A lot of their buddies are just pussies.
That's just straight up. And a lot of guys don't commit to what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or their old lady won't let them go.
Hey, can't kill big bucks. If your wife sucks, you know?
It's going to be on both my trucks. I love it.
You can't kill Big Sable.
No.
But if your wife's a...
disabled.
We got
Easy.
Wow, we're having a good time here.
God damn.
Wrong button.
Sorry. It still applies.
I'm still fitting.
That's the one I wanted right there.
So we got to get a rhyme of with like bulls and rams or whatever it is, so that we can definitely put
okay, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. Bucks. Well, we understand it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, right?
I like it.
B-U-C-K-S or B-O-K-S? Yeah. Right? Is that how you guys spell it? The Gims Buck?
B-U-C-K-S, because we're English. Bok, B-O-K, is the Afrikaans.
Afrikaans.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't way
No,
out.
No, you're close.
Okay.
Next time you'll understand.
I will. Hey, when you know better, you
Congo.
Do better.
It's the Congo.
I want to go to the Congo to kill a bongo. What's up?
What's up?
There you go. You got it.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be a great time.
Absolutely.
I do want to get into more Africa stories here soon as the podcast goes on. But Sam, Old Barn Taxidermy's been murdering the taxidermy game, not only with just Old Barn Taxidermy in general, but the G2 Forms line.
Oh man, it's on fire.
Bravo. Can you talk about G2 Forms a little bit?
Yeah, you know, with the COVID and the supply chain thing that happened to everybody, I mean, it didn't leave the taxidermist unaffected. I mean,
oh, we're gonna do some fines here, Stuart.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry. The deal that's right. Like, we have a big Walmart in our industry that sells most everything, right?
Well, all the taxidermy supplies.
Yes,
and shit like that.
Yes, and they bought out all
forms, all that stuff.
And they bought out all the mom and pop vendors, right? So now we're all just hanging on their shirt strings, and next thing you know is they can't supply us. We'd order a deer mannequin today and we might get it in 10 weeks, we might not. So, you know, I kind of seen this coming, and I've mounted in my life thousands of deer, right? And I know what I like and dislike about almost every mannequin on the market, because there are none of them great. I mean, just absolutely great. And ours isn't either. I mean, they all have their own problems.
Right.
But I got with a sculptor and I said, hey, you know, we're kind of wanting to do this and this and this. And I like, you know, the neck on this mannequin. I like the shoulders on this mannequin. You know, I want a head that looks like the Midwest. And, you know, we just kind of went for it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. We just went all in. I'm an all in guy. So nothing scares me, you know. I just bail in, think, "Fuck, what's the worst that happened? I go broke. Well, I've been broke before, so that's not, you know. I'm still sitting here, you know. I'm getting old, you know, and I'm like, what the hell, you know." So, but yeah, no, it's killing it. We got like 20 different mannequins right now, different sizes and poses. And
God,
whatnot.
I didn't know you had that many already.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing 4 a month, so about every 6 weeks by the time, because my
new forms.
Yes, my sculptor's actually in Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to send a truck to Wisconsin to bring the sculpture back, and then my mold builder's in Ohio, because I'm not smart enough to build a fucking mold, right? Yeah. I gotta pay somebody to do that. So then we got to go to Ohio, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can only, you know, I won't borrow no money because I just don't believe in banks. So, you know, I save and save and save, and I send this guy over here to pick that up, and I send him to Ohio, and next thing you know, we got 4 molds, you know. It's about every 4 to 6 weeks that we're adding
that's
that.
Awesome.
Damn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. But it's
killing it.
Oh, it's amazing. And the thing that I'm trying to do, you know, I kind of soft opened it last year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be Walmart who couldn't supply.
Right, yeah.
So I just kind of went into it just softly, and softly went really, really well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, man, these things are the best. I mean, our brisket is, and if you can look at briskets in here, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah.
But our brisket, literally Stevie Wonder could put it together. I mean, it just falls into place. But, I mean, we just knew what we wanted, so.
Love it.
Yeah, we're happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're happy, happy, happy.
So, and for people, I don't want people to get it, like, mixed up. They don't have to go to Old Barn to get a G2 form.
Oh, no. No, we're selling to everybody in the United States.
So, if your taxidermist doesn't carry G2, how do they get them to get a G2 form?
You know, I'm keeping the price down, so I don't have catalogs. I don't have fancy websites. We have a website, but basically it's Facebook, guys.
Yeah.
So go on, hit our Facebook, and then just call us. You know, that's the easiest thing to do.
So if a customer is in Maryland and they take their deer in, hey, I want a G2 form on my deer.
100%. And then, you know, his taxidermist could get on Facebook or, you know, just www.g2.com, you know,
okay,
or g2taxidermysupply.com.
Okay.
So, best thing is Facebook. I mean,
we'll put it in the link.
Facebook has been amazing for us.
Thank you, Doug.
Mm. You know, I mean, it's
so Sam. What about, you know, obviously the Texas deer and that are a lot smaller.
Everything's different. This is a Midwest deer.
Okay, so
it's a big brown. It's a big full headed.
Yeah. Would you ever work on something for the Texans?
I'm probably not going to.
Okay,
we'll make your Texas deer look like a Midwest deer.
Is that just because the bulk of your work is Midwestern?
Yeah. You know, as a businessman, You want to be able to sell X amount of these mannequins, you know, to make the money to invest in the guy up in Wisconsin doing the clay work.
Yeah.
Plus, the guy in Wisconsin, he's not going to sculpt a Texan steer because he don't know what they look like.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. You know, if I had a sculptor, now I have a sculptor out west that's doing some mule deer and antelope.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to bring that aboard. So I'm not going to say I'll never do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I get the right guy to beat on my door and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody to start a new podcast and. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And it's the right guy. And, you know, I can kind of vet them and see they're not assholes. And,
hey, you might want to be looking at Jacob for
sponsorship. That's what I was thinking. I need that.
Yeah, I need that.
Hey, you know what? Hasn't even dropped yet. Let's go.
But, hey, we start going to hang out with Stuart in Texas because Stuart lives in Texas, for the record, everybody.
Yeah.
We start killing some Texas whitetails.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Except the white
tails. He's holding on us, too. He's got a couple good ones down there.
I seen them.
Stuart's like, God damn it. He's milking me for all I got.
I'd love you buggers to come and visit me in Texas. And,
we'll come bug you.
We need to get you on a Midwest whitetail. That's what we need, man.
Holy smokes, I'll probably crap myself when I see how big they are.
Is there a lot of African Americans in Texas?
I love how vague that question actually is.
Sam, I can't give you a number.
All right. I didn't think so.
Turns out Elon Musk and me.
Yeah.
Because he is in Houston, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or Austin?
Well, I've got a family as well, so there's a few more. You know.
How did you get in Texas?
So, a quick story. My wife was involved with Dell Computers, and we landed up going to go and spend, we were on a 4-year contract in Dubai. So we moved to Dubai in 2012.
From South Africa?
Yeah. With Dell. And after the first year, she lost her job, and what are we going to do now? You know, we've got all these expenses in Dubai, but, you know, fortune, she's damn good at what she does, and, you know, and so they headhunted her, pretty much created a position for her. And so that changed a lot. And then they wanted her to stay. And we landed up 6.5 years in Dubai.
How was that?
You know, it's all clean and neat and, you know, beautiful for the first 3 years. And then it fucking sucks.
Why? Why does it suck? What sucks about it?
I just don't like the people. You know, they're just rude and racist. And
is there anything to hunt in Dubai?
Yeah, we actually did, Austin. We reopened the hunting in the UAE. Myself and a mate of mine, Hans Enslin, who was working for...
You reopened the hunting?
Yeah, the sheikhs and that closed it. And because those guys just kill everything. I mean, fuck, if it moves, it dies. I think it's like any tribe in every country.
I just don't understand. Is there native people in Dubai? I thought Dubai was an artificial island thing.
No.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Dubai.
You're thinking of Dubai because they've created something from nothing. I mean, it just shows you what oil wealth can do. And I'm talking with a lot of correction here. But, you know, the local people, the sheikhs and that, there are a lot of royal families, wealthy families and that, and they all have these massive game farms, and they, and they've introduced animals from all over the world. I mean, fuck, the bongo in a desert. I mean, holy crap. I mean, that's bizarre. And you know, I've got a very good friend who works for one of the sheikhs, one of the lower sheikhs, you know, lived in the palace. Well, he didn't live in the palace, but he looked after all the animals around the palace, and it was like probably 400 acres around his palace, and he had Jerinuk, he had, I mean, shit, your big red kangaroo cheetah. He had more cheetah than I'd ever seen in my life.
Those are the dudes that have, like, crazy sports cars and, like, a tiger in it and shit?
Yep. That's
you know what I'm talking about?
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. So you see all that sort of stuff. So they've got all these different animals there, but they're the only guys that can hunt. Because the sheikh, Muhammad, closed all the hunting years and years ago. Officially, you know, submit all the documents to open the hunting, but my mate was doing it. They were trying to prove they had this 10,000 acre fenced desert. I mean, that's what it was. It was a desert. And they built this incredible lodge, you know, on it. It was a tented lodge, you know, that's obviously air conditioned and everything. And it could sleep 20 people. And Hans just said to them, there's no fucking way 20 people can hunt in this desert. That's maybe one person. Mm-hmm. So then they acquired more land, but they brought in the Arabian oryx. it was there already. So to give you a quick idea of the Arabian oryx, there were none left in the world. They were wiped out.
Where were they native to?
So they, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and northern parts of Africa.
Okay.
So, I think there were 7 or 8 left in the San Diego Zoo.
No kidding.
That was it. The UAE, Saudi Arabia, Texas, parts of South Africa, I believe we're looking at tens of thousands of them now.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a great, you know, conservative story, not conservation story, where, you know, from 7 or 8, they brought them back.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
So they reopened the hunting, you know, and they were trying to get people, foreigners, to come in and hunt them and that, so they could export them. But the Arabs, they always put the cart before the horse. So they built all these incredible things. But, you know, no one went, oh, fuck, we need CITES permits because this is on the highly endangered list. Oh, fuck, we need this. So people are coming over there to hunt them, but they can't bring them home.
Mm.
And you're spending $15,000 on an Arabian oryx, you know, where I'd rather shoot one in Texas for $6,500. Mm-hmm. And I can take it home.
Take it home, right?
Yeah, you know, so, and it's a sad thing based on the fact that, you know, they didn't do their homework into looking at the whole thing about CITES permits, Apex 1 or Apex 2, whichever, you know, they fall under. And then they're going, oh, geez, well, you know, what are we going to do, you know? But in saying that, there were a couple of different gazelles, the mountain gazelle and the sand gazelle that we hunted. So I got to experience that, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then to come back to how we got to Texas, so we landed up, my wife being, you know, she had a global role, and eventually Dell said to her that she had to get out the country because it was expensive, because as an expat, they paid for your housing and they paid for schooling. And in the UAE, that shit's all expensive. You know, it's all private schooling and everything like that. So, and it's obviously you're living in a tax-free country.
Mm-hmm.
So you're earning whack of money, but everything is paid by the companies because it's all tax-free for the companies as well. So just to break it down, we had to leave Dubai. We were given a couple of options to go. They offered my wife, she said, first of all, they asked her, you know, hey, where would you want to go? And she said, the U.S. You know, both my husband and I would love to go there. And I'd experienced coming over here marketing, and I just wanted to live in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said U.S. wasn't an option. So we said, oh, shit, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think it was just because, you know, with a big corporate like that company, they pay for your move. So they pay for your furniture, they pay for your visas. Everything. Yeah, so they pretty much pay for everything, and then they give you a couple of months rent until you find the right home. So I understand it's a, you know, it's a big capital layout, and obviously my wife was important enough to them that they would move her here. But we eventually got an offer out of Ireland, and we decided, okay, well, cool, we'll go to Ireland. Rugby's good because my kids play rugby and I coach it and everything like that, and my daughter swims. And so we decided we'd do that, and my wife and kids all on French passports. So, you know, I was able to work in Ireland. So we thought we'd do that because then it would, you know, financially make sense. So April 18, you know, my wife got a call from her boss and said, hey, would you guys like to move to the US? My wife said, well, fuck, I thought that was off the cards. And they said, well, no, it's on the cards. So she said, fuck, for sure.
Well, I hope she really said fuck, too.
Yeah.
She probably didn't.
Fuck yeah.
She said that.
Let's go to fucking Texas now.
Yeah.
She said it.
Sign me up, motherfucker.
Our only other South African friend's in Texas, so we're going to go there, too. Old Elon.
Mm-hmm.
It's called our boy. We're going to move next to him.
Yeah, so that's and then the paperwork started, and let me tell you something. For a first world country, holy fuck, they're backwards. I don't know. It's just everything. It's
well, we don't like African Americans here.
Yeah, no.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Haven't been canceled yet. We're canceled for sure.
Sorry, I'll leave.
I meant South African Americans.
Just the white African Americans.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what we're talking about.
I didn't say it wrong.
You did.
Are you African American, Stuart?
Technically.
Well, I've got a. I was born in South Africa and. I have a green card in America, so, well, hell yeah, I think I am.
So, suck my balls, Jacob.
But I didn't say nothing.
Who? You made me out.
Jacob, you want to say your Sable statement again?
It's just funny to say that. Come on, we kidding.
Come on.
It is funny.
Yeah, so that's how we landed up here.
Laugh.
I think we need to find the quiet guys here. I think Doug needs a little fine, yeah.
Okay.
What do I need a fine for?
You just seem too damn quiet.
Sam hasn't experienced this yet, and neither has Jordan. So, Stuart, you have to explain the fines.
So
what this is. Because, Sam, you're going to get this every day. When you're in South Africa, and you're going
to
love it.
Well, first of all, when Stuart showed up to the airport, finally, he goes, oh, fuck, boys, I'm going to get a fine for this. And we're like, well, what the hell's a fine? Like, are you going to get a ticket for leaving us at the airport or what?
So you deserve one.
If you listen to the South African Camp podcast and the Recap podcast, you're familiar. But now we're all in here, and I think... Sam, if you want to do one, you can. Jordan, I encourage you to do one. Stuart, break this down one more time on a good mic, because we didn't have good studio mics when we were in Africa.
Yeah, so basically what we do on a normal hunting day, you know, the guys will get back in the evening, and, you know, the guys will all get back together. We call PHs over there. I don't know what that means, but it's something I think professional hunting.
I like it better, man. Yeah, I like PH better than guide.
Anyway, so we come back in and we all get together and say, so tell us about your day. And the guys will go, yeah, we did this. And holy shit, this dude made a bad shot. And that guy fucked up here and what, you know. And then we go, oh, so we gather our sort of intelligence, not that we are, but intelligence.
We pretend. We pretend.
Yeah. And then at dinner or after dinner, just before we sort of settle in for the evening, we'll have we call it a fines evening, where everyone will go, we'll sit around a table and they go, okay, we'll start off with all the guys and say, okay, well, all right, we'll start with you, Kurt. Who you want to fine this evening? And then we'll go right around the table and when they were out there, all the girls had a chance. I'm sure you got to see that and heard about it. And it's kind of become a tradition in our camp. And, you know, it's not – we just love it because it's just humor, you know, more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And the guys love it because
– that's the right mood.
Yeah. It's camaraderie at its finest.
Man. Oh, man. And then the guys will actually start going. It become just a task for them. Fuck, how can I find my PH? Or how can I find the client? Well, shit, we're going to figure this out, you know. And
I will say it's going to feel different
having Fireball versus the ginger brandy.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Ginger brandy is where it's at.
We got to get the ginger brandy here in the States. This is not where it's at.
I got three fines every night I was there.
Yep. Well, you deserved them.
You did.
Fines are fine.
Hey, I did some fucked up shit.
So, yeah, ginger brandy is like the staple. Ginger brandy is the staple in South Africa.
You saw some shit.
Can you even get it in the state? Jordan, you would know the best.
I swear to God, he's from Wisconsin.
Is ginger brandy a thing in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. That's like, okay, I don't know.
All right. Well, is it like a ginger liqueur?
It's kind of an old school thing, but it is definitely a thing in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I don't know anything about brandy.
Well, Kurt and Stuart, you got time tomorrow.
Well, I need your, I'll give you my address.
Yeah.
I need it. I've actually got the I've got the DTs. I haven't had it in such a long time.
The DTs?
They're the shakes, you know.
Okay. So, are we going to do a round of fines?
Yes, I think we could do that.
Let's do a round of fines, but here's the thing. We don't have much to fine each other on right now because we haven't hunted. So this is an off-season fines roundtable, and I think Doug and Eric got you guys got some fines on each other. That's my guess.
For what?
There's a lot.
As you know, Doug.
Shits and giggles.
Who wants Stuart? Why don't you fire this off?
Stuart's all right, start.
And you pick which way it goes afterwards.
All right. So I'm feeling pretty bad now because I arrived from Texas, and I'm going to find myself.
You can't find yourself.
Okay. Well, then please, somebody find me for this because I smell like an African. And
you smell like shit. That's a fine.
I know. And it's horrible. So so please, somebody find me for that. But I'm going to find Douglas.
The giraffe smelled better.
Because I saw Douglas Twin in Dallas today. I walked up to him to say, hello, Doug, and he turned around, wasn't Doug.
Oh.
But they had the same mustache.
How dare you, Doug?
Doug, were you in Texas today?
How many are we giving out more fines? Like, should I just drink
half of it?
Okay,
that's fair. Because you couldn't help it. Normally in camp, Stuart, if you can't help it, you can't get a fine.
Yeah. Why is it spicy?
Like, you can't take an unfair, because the committee, the people who are the committee.
Yeah. We'll call it,
So you can't take an unfair fine, because the committee will be like, nope, that's not fineable. You know,
you
like,
can't just hand out a fine to be an asshole.
But no, exactly.
This is kind of the exception, because we don't have too much to fine on.
Right. All right, so we're going to go, Doug, you're next.
Stuart, you smell like shit.
Hey, that should have been me, motherfucker, because he rode all the way here in my truck.
Well, okay. I got a fine for Eric.
Buy him twice.
I just bought Africa with me, boys.
As soon as he gets in, he's like, sorry, I smell like a South African.
It smells like home. Okay, it's my turn, huh? Eric, I'm fining you for making fun of me saying bongo because you thought I was not knowing what I was talking about.
That was a fucking weak fine.
It's a pretty good fine for the time being.
That's actually pretty legit.
Thank you, Jacob.
Yep.
I hope your podcast excels.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. You're a great guy.
Mm.
That was fair, Eric. Give me that. That was fair.
That was fair.
Okay. Alay, love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you. Thanks for saying it back.
I've got a fine.
Jumped him.
You can always go back to Eric.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go. My fine's going to go to Jordan. I can't tell the full story. All I can say is it is whitetail related. It's big whitetail related.
The next podcast, is it coming out?
Yes, we're going to podcast about this tomorrow night.
Hope you find him then, too.
Brought to you by Pull Back and Let Go.
That's fine.
It's fine. This fine brought to you by Pull Back and Let Go. Great flannels. Check out the Lord flannel. Not only can you wear it as a dress-up button-up flannel, you can also wear it as a jacket. And it also looks great paired over a hoodie, the working-class bowhunter hoodie made in the USA, to
great
be exact.
Great with a beard, too.
Okay, now you can take your fine, Jordan.
Who needs marketing when you got these fellas?
Listen, we're geniuses. Okay, there you go. So, Jacob, you're next.
Did Eric think of something?
No, go ahead.
No, shit.
I kind of forgot. I got skipped.
Hmm.
Sam, I can't wait for you to go. I want to go with Sam to Africa.
It's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds like he needs three security guards.
I just want to sit between him and Linda on the plane so I can sleep on Linda's shoulder all the time until she tells me to fuck off.
And she'll let you because she's such a lovely lady.
I love her.
Hey, guarantee she won't spill a Coke on you.
Dude, yeah, Doug.
That's not a guarantee.
Doug.
Did you ever find him for that?
No, but it's fucking coming in that other half. You better save that shit, bitch.
Is it... Okay. I'm going to throw this out there since we haven't been there. But I guess I'm going to have to fine Eric for taking so long in the chip bet. Like, it's gun season now. And
you're in victory drive territory at this point.
Yeah, you are. Even though the chip bet doesn't count, but you could.
It's all part of my plan, but I'll take the fine.
Okay.
It's all part of your plan.
Oh, sorry.
Drink up, buttercup.
Eric, again, doubles down and gets fined the most.
Should I give him another one?
Eric is just taking the brunt of all the fines.
Every night in Africa, I got three.
I watched Eric do three in a row, and I'm like, dude, this guy's going to die. Because I thought, there's no telling if you're going to get more. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you could
got
have done
three off
eight
the bat.
Every night.
And I'm like, oh, gosh, trick. This is not going to be good.
Even the girls find you.
That just means people like you, Eric.
I was like, good thing his wife's here.
People just like to see me fucked up, I guess.
Okay, it's,
you're a lot more fun when you're fucked up.
Does Jordan, you're on and off this. Do you have a fine? We can come back to you.
I'll come back tomorrow.
Sam.
I got a fine.
Okay.
I need to find Doug. I got no photo credit for any of those photos
that
deer.
None.
Except the hashtag old Krusty Sam or something.
Old Krusty Sam.
What's up with that?
That's the best find of the night. That's the best find.
Top find. Agreed. Hey, he's got to take two for that one.
Agreed. I got another bottle.
No, I'm fine.
It was cold and my ass crack was hanging out.
Damn.
I didn't have my bibs on that day.
You couldn't give old plumber Sam a shout out, huh?
No.
Selfish. Hey.
I felt like shit out of that deal.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Doug, God forbid he sponsors our show.
Yeah, you donkey.
Hey, he puts food in our kids' mouths. You don't have kids, so you don't appreciate it.
Your dog's mouth.
That he knows of.
He's got to feed his girlfriend, too.
Thanks, Sam.
I was just about to say, dick.
Food I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all those social media. My name ain't on here anywhere.
I'll fix it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Too late.
It is too late.
You've been fine, bitch.
Yeah.
God, Fireball's disgusting.
You could take another picture with your ass crack hanging out in remembrance of Sam.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Me both should have done it.
Stuart, see, I shot three does this week.
You need to come and
take my picture.
Oh, you should have called
Eric.
Me.
Eric. Yeah.
It's still round one, dude. You still haven't found anything.
I thought you were finding me. I'm like,
No, damn it.
Find you for taking so long to find a fine.
Yeah, find a fine. Come on.
I feel like Doug's got one coming somewhere.
You guys got something in your bet here.
Ooh.
Is that empty?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
I got to fly out on Friday.
Hey, it's Pearl Harbor Day.
I know.
Austin's clean over there. Look at that. Look at those, all of them over there. Unopened.
I have nothing.
You might need to find me because I just want to hit on
this. Yeah. No, come on. Just give...
You know, it took
just
me a long time to get
just for
that
being a real good dude.
Hey, Sam, for getting this fucking mount bag, it took you forever, but it's the most badass mount I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a sympathy fine. That's a congratulations, what that is.
I cheered him a little bit.
I love it.
I never wanted a pack mount until I looked at that thing.
Very cool. That's awesome.
I'm talking about doing my mountain line in a pack mount now.
That's going to be epic.
Instead of doing a full body, I'm thinking about doing a pack mount.
By the way, that'd be
a one of a kind.
I know.
I've never seen it, ever.
What we're talking about, I'm sure we'll have pictures of it by now, but Sam delivered my pack mount tonight. And he fucking killed it.
Dude, it was unbelievable. Pack mounts, underrated. I always liked them.
Oh, I love them.
And then you brought that in, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
The one live you did, you're like, oh, there's one of Working Class on the floor. And there's like the whole, the skin and everything. I'm like.
He showed me it.
It's all good.
When I went over there, I was like, ooh.
I tell you, people freak out on that live thing. You know,
if I don't do that,
I get text messages. No. Hey, you know.
No other taxidermist does it.
Yeah.
But it's badass, dude.
You keep them going.
Yeah, it's fun.
They're great.
It's fun.
They're
great.
I think
3 years ago when we first met, you were doing them. And I saw that for the first time. And I went, geez, that's awesome.
Because customers are going to look, where's my mount?
Oh, yeah.
My mount on there?
Yeah.
And I think...
I'm guilty.
Old Barn on TikTok, you guys could do some crazy shit. Yeah. And Instagram Reels as well.
As long as TikTok allows it.
Instagram Reels. Lean on that. Okay, so where's the fines at?
All right, I guess
Jordan
you got it.
Jordan don't got one.
He's too nice
to give him out.
Stuart's going to be on your podcast tomorrow because Stuart will be here, so we'll do him then.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, Stuart, I think it's back to you.
All right, so it's back to me. Around Top Tap. So I met Sam 3 years ago, and I was fortunate enough. I met him through a guy that we both knew, this is more so just, you know, more awesome.
Guilty by association.
Yeah, and let me tell you something.
A bunch of mullets.
A pair I fell in love with right from the word go. Just first class, genuine people. Sam and Linda Gaylor are just
the best.
Just fantastic.
I'm pretty evil hearted if you ask people.
I believe he could be a hard ass and all that sort of stuff, but you know what? He hasn't done that, and it's not really a fine for something silly or anything like that. It's just, you know, we give fines for good stuff too. And to you guys, you know, kiddos to you guys, you just freaking lovely people. So,
well, thank you.
Cheers, my man.
Thank you. You're the best. You're the best.
This is a round of applause, not rain. Everybody thinks this is rain. It's not rain.
Well, on that note, I mean, the government has an income tax, and that's not a bad, like, you're making money, and they're still taking something from you. So it's kind of the same thing. You find them for something good.
Yep. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're like the government.
Unless you live in Dubai.
Well, I do. Not in Africa, but I like it here because, you know, I get something for it over here. Yeah. Africa, I get jack shit for it over there.
I'm going to find South Africa.
Well, for what?
Being corrupt.
Drink up, South Africa.
I guess I got to take that because I'm the only South African.
You don't have to. Elon Musk. I'm going to find Jacob.
He hasn't had one yet.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're going to find Jacob?
Yeah.
For what?
For starting a podcast.
No, because he didn't know who I was.
Podcast. Oh, see, that's how you should have got him for that.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. There's your fine. Lean into it.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I could have assumed. You know what they say about assuming? You make an ass out of you and me.
Exactly.
So you're not driving home, are you?
No.
Okay, take that shot.
Not today.
Without shame.
Not today. Midnight, maybe.
Shh, I am.
Well, cheers, Sam.
Not if you do more fines. Hey, Linda, honey.
Come get me, please.
Come fetch me.
Daddy's staying at the studio.
The boys got me.
The boys got me. Long business meeting. It took all night. All right. Oh, it's my turn. Fuck. I'm at this point where I don't have anything to give, but I got to think of something real deep. Okay. I got one. Jordan's going to like this one. So last summer, we had great plans to go to Angler's Haven Resort. And we were going to – that's their resort up there. There's Jordan and Kelsey own it. We were going to go. We had cabins rented out, and we were going to go and have this great Angler's Haven
camp.
Yeah, a camp, this Angler's Haven experience. And then fortunately, Sam introduced us to Stuart, and Stuart's like, hey, why don't you come to Africa this time and hunt with us? And then I had to call the Ginsmers up and be like, hey, listen –
It's not you, it's me.
We got to go to Africa. So we ended up having to go to Africa instead of Angler's Haven because of Stuart. So Stuart, I got to find you for that. Hey, like a good thing, like income tax.
I love it.
Come on, I pulled that on my ass. That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
It's funny how it comes full circle now that Jordan's sitting here with Stuart.
Because that's a true story.
It is. It's
100% true story.
Because we've been trying to get up to Angler's Haven as a group.
For years.
And they're always booked.
Yeah.
And if they have a week open.
And they finally made a weekend for us. And we're like, let's do it. We're planning it. Let's go.
We're coming.
And then all of a sudden it's like,
Yeah. It fell apart. So, yeah.
I think I should be fired for that myself. You think?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why Jordan's gone gray.
I have a fine for Eric.
You already went. It's not even your turn.
You just deserve this one.
Why?
For making this stupid bet.
Hey, you know what? If we're being fair, technically that was a fine from Sam. Just Doug brought it up, so... This is a good find.
Yeah.
For you now. Yeah. Backing up Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a fine for making the stupid
wait,
bet.
I don't have a fucking clue, but yeah.
Yeah. Why the fuck am I getting a fine? He's the one that
I don't have a fucking clue, but yeah.
No, you're the one who
I made the bet. You agreed to it, you dumbass. Yeah,
you made it.
It's not even your turn, so piss off.
Fine him. Fine him, I said. Fine him, I said.
Thanks for the photo credit.
Maybe...
I'll fix it. He's really sour about that photo.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll fix it.
I'll fix it.
I'm sorry.
I'm back and got really quiet. Let's go. Yeah.
Is it my turn?
It was your turn, yeah.
Oh, it is my turn? Yeah.
Wait, I thought you already did one.
Oh, wait. Was it? Yeah, did you do, yeah, oh, you yeah. did do one. You I did one in Jordan. One.
Yeah, I find
sorry, him. I'm a little retarded.
So then Doug went me? Back and then find me again.
Yeah. Get, oh. get Doug it's a fine.
So I'm on number three now.
Yeah. Okay, I have it.
No. Oh, I'm finding or you
no,
are?
It's my turn.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I got
Stuart.
One.
Stuart, you need me to make up one.
Hold on. Well, I love how willing it. Stuart is to take fines. I just love it, dude. Like,
how many bottles do I need?
Stuart's on vacation. He's not going. He's going 4 feet from yep. the studio.
Literally.
I got two rolls and a fall, and I'm in bed.
Stuart, or a fall and two rolls.
Stuart and I are going to call the night.
Probably. You don't want to cuddle with this fucking stinky bastard. So.
Stuart, this might be a fine on a fine, but I'm going to fine you anyways for leaving us at the fucking airport.
Yeah! Oh, I was hoping that was going to happen.
It's a native fine.
Yeah, yeah.
When and we find you in Africa. Now we got fighting in America for that.
Of course, when I arrived, I said, Eric, I'm at the airport. He said, I'll see you in 5 hours. Fucking bastard.
That son of a bitch. And there's you nowhere to get coffee here.
It's 65 miles an hour on the interstate. Doing about 45, remember honking at me. Like, yeah, well.
I'm going to pick up our favorite African-American, yeah, and I'm taking alone. My time. People are, we know our community. That'd be so bad if we were, like, mainstream. Who's up?
Austin.
I don't know. I want to give, some like, a fine related to this weekend, but.
I need a fine. I haven't had a fine.
I haven't either.
Kurt, right. Fuck you. I'll, take a fine.
I'll fine you because you haven't had one.
No,
well, yeah. I need to be a legit. Make yeah, up think something. Of something. Give me something legit. I've been a pretty good boy lately. I have been. Hard to argue with.
Fine for trimming his ears.
Straight A's.
I got a fine for him.
Teacher's pet.
Okay, give me one.
Teacher's pet.
You're having too much of a perfect season, and I hate it.
Ooh.
It's like one of them tax fines.
It's a jealousy fine, yeah. but we'll accept it.
It's a jealousy slash, you know,
hey,
good job
acceptable.
Fine. Yeah.
Acceptable.
Hey, you know what?
I'll take it. The guy's filled every tag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your boy's on fire right
Even
now.
Turkey tags, you filled everyone.
So who hasn't had a fine yet?
You literally filled every tag.
Hey, he's had the perfect season.
And I killed a coyote, too.
Someone would call him the Michael Jordan of the hunting community right now, you know?
It's all in the throat tat.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the aura of the throat tat.
Who hasn't had one?
You got that throat tat, like, ready for one to Africa.
Austin.
You already killed the turkey.
You haven't?
Before right? or after? I think I got it when I got after? Home. Did I have this when I was in Africa, Stuart? I think I got it after.
No, you had it.
You did have
it? Yeah, I thought you just got it.
Yeah, you just got it.
Oh,
it was
okay.
a couple of weeks or whatever it was, yeah.
I got that tattooed when I got home. My elbow.
Oh, geez.
The all-seeing eye.
The eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. Nobody gets their elbow tattooed.
I was looking back there.
Someone give Austin a fine. He hasn't got one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got one. I got one. Can I give you a fine? We're kind of lost track.
Jacob was you.
I got one. Mm-hmm. I got one.
Okay.
I built this really nice base for Austin, and we got it up. We couldn't get it in his fucking room because it was too tall. He didn't tell me how tall they had to be.
I did not measure for the base that same.
Ah, there we go. That's a legit.
It was fucking cool, dude.
What was the base for, Sam?
It was for those two deer that he shot with his longbow.
Yeah, I brought him. So I had already built the base on this badass pedestal, and I brought it to him, but I didn't tell him, like, ceiling height-wise, because he thought it was going, like, close to the floor, but it was already, like, 3 foot up off the ground. So
I built this epic fucking base. And
we had to do a little fabrication when we got it up there to make my deer fit.
We were trying to find fucking screwdrivers that worked, and it was crazy. We got it there.
Sawzall blades later.
Yeah.
So it was bad workmanship blaming the tools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Are we find out? We got more? I don't even know where we're at. We're kind of loose in the game here. Well, I need to finish mine.
Jacob and Sam have still got to find.
Okay. I'm trying to think of one for Sam.
Yeah.
Jacob, you have a wife with six toes on each foot, so that's a fine just for being.
You want to bring this one up to the board?
Well, that's weird.
Fine. Yeah, fine.
It is weird.
Yeah,
that's not what I meant, actually. She says it's more common than you think.
Yeah,
and bullshit. I don't buy it.
How many girls have you banged with 12 toes?
One.
And you're the only one.
Hey, ask Doug.
Exhibit seven. A.
Yeah, Doug's the only guy that might have.
And I check.
Let me see your feet, bitch.
I'm just kidding.
All right,
fingers
well,
and toes, let's count them.
This is for you, Ashley.
You can't knock her over.
Thanks, yeah, Ashley.
Great swimmer.
You got pictures? That's pretty hot, really.
Dude, easy. She needs to sell feet pics.
Yeah.
I've been telling Jacob that forever. All right, Sam.
I have a very strong stance against that.
Okay, that's very fair. Mm-hmm. You can go on any hunt you wanted, I think. We got to think of one for Sam.
You got about 12 reasons.
Why does Sam need a fine?
He's got no more liquor.
Oh, I thought he had a half one.
No. I got enough. I got to finish it.
I'll give you a fine for... I can't go there.
Dude. Hey, I lost your meat.
You can't go there, dude.
No, yeah, okay, yeah, take a fine for that.
I did do that. I got it in the truck.
You didn't lose it. It didn't go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere, but I didn't give it to you when you came over.
Okay. Hey, but you didn't bring my 8-point skull plate with you when you knew.
I fucked that up, too, didn't I?
You didn't do anything wrong, because I'm coming to your place tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that works. I'd take the meat back with me. My wife would kill me.
You,
I
want to make a joke, but I'm not gonna.
Go for it.
Come on.
You fired your most holy taxidermist.
Oh, boy.
No comment.
Damn.
No comment. I'm just going to take a...
take a
I'm going to elect to take the high road on that one. Because I'm dark and demented soul.
You're evil.
I am evil.
Hey.
We don't like cheaters and liars.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm both.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
And that's a joke, for the record, just like all our South African
that's
jokes.
That's not a joke. I found it out.
Hey, here we are. All right, where are we at? I got half an hour. All right. Moving on.
So what I suggest, everyone that's got like a half a shot, bottoms up.
Bottoms up, boys.
Bottoms up.
Cheers. Let's
Here's
talk
to Africa.
To Africa.
Love you, boys. Right. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Love you.
Here's a hashtag fuck Doug.
Good times. All right, I want to talk
Why
more.
Why would you say that?
He's got me sweating.
So that's a South African tradition, huh? Oh, I missed big time.
Kobe.
It is now.
We're all shooting him into the bucket.
He's gone.
So.
The piss bucket.
I still want to keep talking South Africa and taxidermy. That was just like a fun. That's what we do in hunting camp. That's like camaraderie at its finest. I think it's a blast. I'm going to get everybody loosened up real nice.
Where's our mounts?
Yeah, it's honestly.
We're going to have to start the fines up again.
Yeah. Bring out the fines.
Hey, it's been like
that's
three.
That's all I thought of.
Stuart, it's been like 3.5 months.
Yeah, where are they at, Stuart?
Asking.
We need our giraffe.
So I know they've been, you know, I've had a couple of the clients and that complaining that they're not hearing from them and all that sort of stuff. So it's been pretty snowed in with trying to make up for a lot of stuff, and then they've been struggling with the government with permits and everything like that. But we've come up with a pretty good solution to the whole thing. So as soon as and not coming back to you guys, but when the clients pay their deposits to have the stuff mounted, the idea is to apply for the permits, because it generally takes them 3 months to do the work, and it takes 3 months to get the permit. So we're trying to get into a system where when the guys get the deposit, the taxidermist gets the deposits, the work starts, and then at the same time they apply for all the permits.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happened, I mean, with you guys, we're trying to, you know, work everything accordingly, and there was a lot of communication issues and everything like that.
For the record, we're not actually mad about our mouths.
No, no, no.
It's only been like 3.5 months.
It's
really not a big deal.
No, but
I was not. I was being funny.
I want to get an, you know, to give everyone an idea of what happens there, and
hey, obviously we need some full disclosure here. Nathan's mounting knees over there.
Yep.
He has a great taxidermy shop, and we are great friends. And I do not want to be an African taxidermist.
And that's a conversation we had, too, with
yes,
Sam.
Yes, 100%. Yes. 100%.
And I agree with Sam. I mean, I've dealt with probably 10, 12 taxidermists in Africa, you know, getting stuff over. They probably 3 or 4 times more expensive than Joe Regal.
Mm-hmm. And bad work.
And let me tell you something, it's not even close.
No. I mean,
you know, Sam, you know, when a guy's got 44, 45 years experience,
yeah,
and he's in his 70s, and let me tell you something, that guy walks 10 miles a day between everybody.
Yeah.
They've got 30-odd people working for them. It's kind of, you know, Sam will understand the fact that the more people you have, the quicker stuff moves. I had a guy hunt with me at the end of April, early May. They did not do the permit applications when they received the deposit for him. His work was done in 3 months, fully mounted. You know, I'm talking 12 animals. Ooh, done.
Geez. Damn.
Ready to roll out the box. The shippers came and collected the stuff and then applied for the permits.
Oops.
There was a problem with the permits. There's a problem with the paperwork. His shit's only leaving now, 4.5-5 months later. So what happened, there's from when they first gave him a quote for shipping, it's gone up $300.
Gow.
Mm. So the shippers are the people that are raping everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's why Joe Regal's going, I'm going to keep my prices as low as any as possible. I mean, I had a guy who shot a crocodile, a buffalo, a sable, a nyala, and a golden wildebeest. Sent him the quote.
A golden wildebeest?
Holy yeah.
That's a new one for me.
Those are pretty badass.
They're beautiful.
They're really pretty. And I mean, it's just their manes are like a real white color. So they're pretty wildebeest.
They're like an offshoot, aren't they?
So... what happened, I'll give you, when I'm finished with the taxidermy thing, I'll give you a little idea of that, of the golden wildebeest. But what happened was, when I gave him the quote, it was $3,000. Have all that shit mounted. And he said to me, Stuart, that's impossible. I can't, when I have an elk mounted and a mule deer, whatever it is, it's the same price. I'm having all these animals mounted for that. He said, is this guy a joke? And I went, no, I believe he's one of the best taxidermists we have in Africa. And I think he's fair because he thinks all the other taxidermists are ripping everyone off. He says, that's what it cost me to keep my staff here. He had at one stage before COVID, he had, I think, 36 people, but he's now down to about 20-odd. But he has everyone that goes and, you know, everyone has their role. And you know, Joe will walk between everybody. That's why I said to you, he walks 10 to 12 miles a day, walking between all the people. You know, he's got probably 4 or 5 different buildings where he goes through and checks everything out and makes sure everything's fantastic. But before that animal is signed off, he gives it that final inspection. And let me tell you something, for a guy that's been there 40-odd years, it's like Sam, he knows he's going to do better. Is he happy with it to leave the door? He sort of shrugs his shoulders and he says, I think it's good enough, but we can do better. And that's exactly what Sam does.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sure. And that's why I think they're a great match. So our idea of getting the stuff mounted with Joe Regal coming to Sam. Sam goes, okay, I think I could deal with this.
Well, we're USDA
Yeah.
Certified. So, I mean, you know, they go through the broker, and then they got to go to a USDA facility for unpacking.
So then they go to you.
They go to us to unpack. Yeah. And we unpack, and, like, you'll have some skulls and whatnot that we're going to have to dip, you know, because we got to make sure that we're not bringing any foreign disease into our...
Well, it's more about the insects.
Insects, yes.
So when you dip them, what do you mean dip them?
We got to dip them in a product that brings the pH down where the insect cannot live. I tell you, last year we brought in a crate. We opened it up and it was full of bugs. Full of bugs.
That's not good.
We closed the crate. Yeah, we closed the crate and we have a quarantine trailer that we got to put the stuff in, right? And we've got quarantine signs on it and everything. So we close it up. I call our state veterinarian and I say, hey, doc, we just got a crate in. And I said, it's full of bugs. She said, well, who cleared it? I said, Texas cleared it. Well, I'm sure those people lost their damn jobs. But anyhow, before that day was over, I was on conference calls with like five different government agencies, right?
Holy smokes.
They all five showed up with hazmat suits on. And that was like 115 degrees on an Iowa day with 100% humidity. And they're working in a little 12-foot trailer that's, you know, it was like a baking oven.
Not fun.
But they got to do it.
Yeah. So they went in, they opened that crate up, and they're in there with their tweezers taking all these bugs out. They end up being some beetle.
Yeah.
I mean.
The 90% of the time what happens in once they're dusted and everything and cleared, you know, and that's why I hate the dip and ship side of things. When an animal is mounted in South Africa, it's like a curio. It can be almost shipped to your door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's been treated.
It's just skulls at that point.
You know, now you're talking about, you know, skins and skulls that are basically, you saw how we salted them and folded them up. Then they go through a borax dusting and a clearing, and then the agents come and pick them up and they do, you know, another clean and make sure it's all fine. Somewhere along the line, when they sit at the container for hours, I mean, at the shipping agents for hours, in fact, dude, there's a bug that's going to find a hole somewhere to get
in. Right, right.
Yeah. You know, he's going to get in there and he's going to go say, fuck, I want to go to the USA.
Yeah.
Freedom. Land of the free, dude.
No,
let's
fucking
go.
Visa, I'm going. You know,
the Taliban, we're going.
Yeah, we are on our way.
God bless America.
This was before Trump, though, right?
Yeah, no, they don't want to come now.
Hey, get Trump back into office. No more beetles in your African skulls.
Let's go.
Now, the beetles will come now while Biden's here. If Trump was here, they'd all fucking come over.
No, turns out the beetles are pro-Trump. All right, fuck Biden. Let's go, Brandon.
So that's the major problem we're struggling with, because when the shipping companies come and pick up a dip and ship, it's they're reliant on the taxidermist that everything's been boraxed and cleaned and made sure there's no bugs in there. So they crate it all up. But they wait for the permits. So it sits in their warehouse for
months.
For months. Yep.
You know, and it depends on the taxidermist how well they've handled it.
Exactly.
Because now it gets into the United States, right? We open this thing up. It is literally cooked for a year.
Yep.
And we can't rehydrate it.
Nope.
We can't get it back soft, you know. So then that's like why Sam don't want to be an African taxidermist. I'm like, hey, Nathan, rock on, brother.
Yeah, that's the best move, probably. Yeah. Right.
And I think that's where I think the smartest move Sam has said. He said, whoever I send to you, I'm happy to get the shit in.
I'll just broker it through.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best move anyway, because Sam, that just shows like intelligence and experience on your level too. It's like you want the best product.
Oh, 100%
for the clients that are even going to work with you. Here's my thought on it. It's like if someone's coming to this clinic, they're going to become an Old Barn customer for their whitetails.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And they're going to become a Regal taxidermy client if they ever go to Africa. And it just kind of the camaraderie of it all just all comes full circle. Yep. I think through this, but it shows that you want the best product for your next potential customer, whether they bring a whitetail to you or not.
Yeah. Well, look, and the big thing, I met Nathan. I've seen their work. You know, what I've seen is, you know, pictures. We've shared pictures back and forth. We're on that. What's that name of that chat thing we're on?
WhatsApp.
Yeah, you know.
I love it.
Yeah.
WhatsApp, that's it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sold on his taxidermy work. You know, if I thought it was hideous, I wouldn't say, hey, he's my guy.
Right, right. You know what animals look like.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and a lot of that stuff over there is hideous. I'm telling you. I mean, oh, there's a lot of shoddy work over there. But yeah, this is not the shoddy work guy.
Yeah.
Before we decided, like, what kind of mounts we wanted, like, how we wanted my stable to look like and my Niala and everything to look like, I started Googling, like, Niala mounts and sable mounts and stuff like that. And, oh, my God. All right. I started coming across Google images of some of these African mounts, and they are atrocious. Like, yeah, it looked like I saw a sable, looked like it got put on a pronghorn form. Yeah. I'm like,
I'll tell you this, I never realized how big our animals were until I Googled a bunch of images of the taxidermy for the animals we won. What we wanted to pick. I'm like,
trust me.
I was like, man, my water buck is actually really big, because every water buck mount that I looked up is like not even like half the size.
No, we did.
So I'm like, damn,
we did very good.
We killed some great animals over there, you know? Mm-hmm. So thank you, Stuart, for that. But it just made us realize, like, damn, it was as big as they said.
Most of the kudu I saw, you wouldn't even let us touch. Like, you looked up texture in mounts.
Our big thing with, you know, We've had a few shit seasons with droughts and whatever it is, and we struggle with kudu, and it's pushed up that demand, because it's like elk hunting in the USA. You know, it's a sought after thing. Everyone wants an elk. Everyone wants a kudu in Africa.
And I'm the only one that got one.
Yeah. So,
fuck you.
You had to squeeze that in there, didn't
Eric,
you? Done?
Eric was close.
I hit one.
That's a hat slap.
So, you know,
fine.
We've always got to look for that area, you know.
Yeah.
So we know we've had areas where a lot of kudu have died, and you know, it's not fantastic and whatever else it is. And you know, obviously with rifle hunting, it's a different story. You get in those big valleys and you find them, you know, it's all spot and stalk, and you know, and right opportunities. With bow hunting, it's a lot tougher to shoot kudu, because you're reliant on the water holes, you're reliant on the salt licks, and
they're fucking skittish.
Oh no, holy shit. I mean, you know,
insane.
They are skittish.
They've got noses like anything. Their eyes are unbelievable. And let me tell you something, those big old fucking radar ears they have on the side of the heads.
Yeah, don't help.
One little tiny squeak from my chair, and then there it goes.
They're gone.
Stuart, we had that big kudu in.
Yeah, I was gonna shoot Eric.
Yeah, the same one. I was gonna shoot Jacob's diker. Remember that coming in? Yeah. I was like, should I shoot? I was like, fuck Jacob, I'm gonna shoot this diker.
You should have shot it.
I know. I should have shot mine.
Hey, wait! You can't even give me shit for shooting a fucking kudu because you shot one with a gun. I actually shot one with a bow. You fucking dick.
Hey, Stuart.
Well,
did I get a kudu,
Dad?
But
you had one in the taxidermy.
Let's go through that real quick. So yeah, Doug shot with a gun, but his died.
I don't like where this is going.
No.
I see this new podcast happening now.
Let's calm everything down.
This wasn't
down.
A victory drive hunt. This was a working class bow hunter.
I know. That's why I held out.
Boys,
I'm IQ.
Boys.
Bang.
Hey. I killed an elk with a gun.
Yep. Well, it happens. But you know what? In the end of the day, our big thing is we want to send the guys home happy, and so we're always looking for better areas, and I guarantee you, when you guys come out again, I want to show you one of my other areas, you know, where there's an opportunity, probably a little more, to see more kudu.
But Doug can't come because he
killed. Doug can't come there.
He's going to the diker hole.
We're going to send him somewhere else.
I did a bow hunt for elk, and then I did a gun hunt for elk, and I killed one with a gun. If I would have tucked my balls between my legs and pinched really hard on a bow hunt, then I would have been cool with killing one with a gun on my bow hunt. But I didn't do that, so I killed one a couple weeks later on an actual gun hunt.
My guy.
I'm kidding. I had to try and make myself seem cooler.
You could spin this a million different ways.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Spin your webs, Kurt. Hey, spin your webs.
I'd love to be a guest on the Victor Drive podcast coming soon.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let me on. Let me on.
Yeah, hey. We got lots of content coming here.
That was me standing up for Eric is what that was.
That was a terrible job.
Listen.
Next.
Listen.
Next question.
I did see Eric's kudu right after the diker, mm-hmm. and then it was like
He didn't give us a chance.
Dude, they were on Death Comp 5. I remember trying to sit up from the seat to grab my bow, and it was like...
They were looking for problems.
He was on edge. When he came in, I mean, we saw him, and he was like, in fact, I want to get out of Dodge. I mean,
he wasn't having it from the get go.
Yeah, he suspected something. I mean,
in my that one I did shoot, like he ducked that arrow like right when it got to him.
Like a whitetail, huh?
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just so. I mean, they're so intense. You know. I mean,
it was terrible.
If you go to if you look at all the predators in Africa, all animals. I mean, we look at our first day in Africa. It's just like. Fuck. Are these animals all like this?
Dude, they're like made of lightning.
I mean,
are they?
Like Impala have lightning into their muscle fibers.
They're just shaking.
They're just the like, yeah,
you're not taking 30 and 40 yard shots on Impala. It's not going to work.
No.
I took a 30 yard shot at my Impala and hit him high.
Yeah. It's not going to work.
He decked, you know?
Dude, they're just, when they'll be drinking water and they're chilling and you watch them and they're like, they're lightning in their muscle fibers.
So we always
that kudu ducked my arrow.
Yeah. That's like
25 yards.
How big is a kudu? 700 pounds? 600?
Yeah, 750. Mm-hmm. You know,
ducked my arrow at 35 yards.
And that's the thing. Like an elk in North America will just sit there and take it, you know? But these kudu won't fucking take it.
No.
I mean, like I always said, I mean, you remember, we got to deal with all these predators. So it's not like the elk, they've got almost zero. They got the wolves and whatever else it is. But, you know, when you're dealing, you got leopard, lion, hyena, and all the other shit that comes with it. Cheetah kill young kudu and kudu cows and all that sort of stuff. So they're always alert. I mean, we all experienced when they drink water at a watering hole. When they're down there, fuck, I mean, they're just quivering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my fuck, what's going to happen? You know, it's like everything is just...
It's crazy. Yeah,
you know, it's and that's the challenge. And that's what I say to guys. You know, Africa's fantastic. You know, we can sit in this incredible concrete blind and wait for animals to come in. But let me tell you something. These fuckers are just wide awake. You know, they're trying to accept everything that's going to be thrown at them. And let me tell you, an arrow thrown at them, they're going to be awake for it. Mm-hmm. So even a big animal like a kudu is going to jump a
react.
Strip, you know? So
it's crazy, man.
We all go, oh, I mean, I always go, shit, you know, should I find areas where these animals are in a fucking zoo?
Yeah.
But that's not hunting.
Right. Yeah,
I'm not bringing forth what these animals are actually like.
That's a big misconception, sir.
That's
a challenge
to
hunt.
I mean, I can take you guys to areas where there's no hunting pressure, nothing. They fucking put feed out and, you know, these animals come out and smoke your kudu and he fucking looks up and says, thank you, pal, my time's done, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think, I think that's where...
Because
we got some negative feedback when we got back from Africa, and I don't know... Maybe that's where it stemmed from. Or I think most of it's a misunderstanding of what
it is, too.
It's probably mainly the misunderstanding.
It's the canned hunts. I mean, people think like Africa is all canned hunts, and that's not the case. Like,
no.
When we're talking canned hunts, we're talking like when you go to a... Because there are those canned hunts in Africa. Like,
there's still canned hunts here.
Just like there are in Texas. You know, it's like you have a canned hunt, and it's when they take these animals and corral them up in a very, very small area.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking place we're at was how many acres?
I think we had two. The one was 6,000 acres and the other was 10,000 acres. I mean, 6.5 and 7,000.
Hey, are you fucking kidding me? It's like they can go anywhere.
Yep.
You know, they can go anywhere. It's not a canned hunt. We had, and they could be off the property. It's one of those things like we could weren't hunting these canned. Yeah, they can jump the fence. And it's like the thing is we weren't hunting canned hunts. Like that's the difference between when you see certain hunts in Africa that are like that, then it is really easy because like you said, they come up and they're like, hey, what's up, buddy? And doom, it's dead.
That's
different.
You can
that's
tell
different
on
than
the
what
YouTubes,
we were doing.
You can tell on the YouTubes when you're watching animals that don't give a fuck,
right?
Yeah. Versus animals that are like using their natural instincts.
Well, you know that there's a lot of them. They get fed, you know. It's kind of like in Texas where you get all those, you know, high volume areas where there's, you know, 500 or 600 acres, and that fucking come to every damn feeder that goes off or whatever.
Because the feeder goes off the same time every night.
And let me tell you something. It's no different to Africa. They put feed out, you know, because they want results, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. But where we hunted, and as much as I said to the landowner, I said, hey, you know, let's try and, you know, let's try and get a few animals out here. He says, I don't feed them. It's got to be natural. Mm-hmm. I want this to be a bow hunting ranch where the animals come out to water and they come out. I'll put out salt licks or whatever it is. But I will never, because, you know, it was about 3 or 4 years prior to that where he was buying, you know, probably 100 tons of feed, putting it out. You could kill whatever the hell you wanted to. I mean, who wants to do that as a bow hunter?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel right.
No, you might as well go to a fucking...
a zoo.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, that, I think I mean, what we honest, experienced was perfect. Like, you would sit all day and wait on an animal, but you would see a diverse array of animals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was to me, it was like the perfect blend. Like,
agreed.
You weren't swarmed with animals where it was just like, well, I'm going to pick whatever I want to shoot. I mean, you were still hunting, but you still got to see a diverse amount of animals.
Yeah, it wasn't the fact that you, oh, shit, I'm going to push that one. Oh, I'm going to pick. It was, oh, fuck, I hope I can see a zebra today, or I hope I can see a kudu. Or,
you get that hope of, like, the anticipation of the hunt.
Yeah. Or hell, you have a day where even the fucking duck's sleeping, you know?
Exactly.
the only day that I was like, damn, there's a lot of animals. And it's funny that you mentioned that, Austin. It's like your red hartebeest hunt.
That was a wild.
We had like no animals. Then the red hartebeest came in. And then when they moved over, then the kudu came in. Then the impala. So like right before your shot.
I had to wait for like three animals to clear in the background before I could shoot.
It just looks so excessive.
But
there.
It wasn't like that all the time. I mean, that was a rare situation. It was but very it's cool rare. When it happens when there's 50 animals on the water hole at one time.
And it was just for the 3 minutes that took you to shoot the red hartebeest. Because I threw that video together and I showed it to people. And they're like, Jesus, there are enough animals out there? You in a zoo? I'm like, listen, okay, it looks bad that for looks, the 3 minutes.
But I will say, we sat that same hole where you shot that red wildebeest.
It's a giraffe hole.
Giraffe hole. We sat there from morning till night and seen 6 animals.
Yeah, I mean, or you see Cape Buffalo, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. And I mean, I was
the bloody mullets,
the mullets, and
the mullets.
And I was like, I had a few guys interested in Cape Buffalo, and when the whole season had packed up, and I'd spent a good few months over there, and the landowner sends me these pictures of 2 fucking giant Cape buffalo. I mean, when I mean giants, I mean the biggest shit that I've bigger than breeding bulls. Hmm. And he says to me, well, I guess we missed these. I said, oh, fuck, I never even saw those.
Really?
I never saw them cross a road. Look, I didn't. I mean, we shot two bulls that year, and they shot another, you know, the outfit shot another bull there. No one even saw those bulls. I'm talking about bulls that people pay, you know, $15,000 for.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Big, big bulls.
Yeah, big-ass bulls.
And no one saw them.
And no one saw them. So.
And how many PHs you got out there hunting with everyone?
Well, Jan still owns the property. So, he's an outfitter, and he used to sell, you know, a lot of hens. So he's tapering down to where I can take over the whole, you know, area. But he said to me, Stuart, I never saw these bulls all fucking season.
What do they do then? Like, you know, like they just...
They just cruise and, you know, browse like they do. I mean, they graze like they do. And later season they might come out. And
you know what I thought was interesting talking about Cape Buffalo? Remember that night... We walked out to that main 2-track. We were standing there by the blind as it got dark. We hear those lions roaring.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and I remember looking down the 2-track. I'm like, because I just asked you, dude, I just hammered Stuart with questions all day, fucking day.
You have to.
And we love it because it shows you're interested, you know?
Yeah, you just want to know about shit. Because I know.
Trust me, all the dumbass shit I asked Ethan, you'd be amazed.
Well, dude, yeah, same thing with Stuart. I'm just like,
he told me afterwards, he says, that Eric's a fucking dumbass.
But listen, can you imagine all the dumb questions he's asking?
1,000%. I guarantee you said that.
Can you imagine all the dumb questions Eric's asking? Hey, Stuart, would you walk?
I think I asked Ethan one time if they had donkeys over there. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Hey, donkeys? Valid question. I don't know either, actually, but probably. Did that? So we're like, it's getting dark. We can hear lions roaring. Like you hear coyotes here. You know, we can hear them roaring. I'm like, holy shit, that's nuts. But we're looking down this two track, and I'm like, Stuart, would you just, like, once it gets dark, would you just walk? Would you feel comfortable walking down this two track? Because at home, I just walk down it. Nothing's, what's going to fuck with me at home? Here, nothing. And I was like, oh, yeah, like a leopard might get you, or like a lion. You're like, nah, probably more scared of the Cape Buffalo, like walking into a Cape Buffalo herd. And I thought that was really interesting because I'm like, well, that didn't even cross my mind as being like, I'm thinking predatory animals
right. Get
you in the dark while you're walking.
Not the herding animal.
Yeah, dude,
not,
you watch a herd of Cape Buffalo go after something. They're vicious. They jump once in. They start. Yeah. Like once one starts, there's like four of them going.
And it's not like any other pride or herd or whatever it is. Buffalo, they all get involved. Right. The cows, the bulls, everything. Whereas a lot of the other predators, you know, they have the matriarch will take care of it, or the main, you know, pride animal will take care of it. Whereas buffalo, well, fuck this, we got to save whoever it is. And, oh, shit, this guy's coming in.
The gang.
Yeah, we get a gang up on this bastard and kill him, you know. And
have you ever seen anybody get ran over by a Cape Buffalo?
Plenty.
Really? Plenty.
See, and that, I'll say this right now, like when I shot my wildebeest, Cape Buffalo were there when I shot it, and then they moved back in before the trackers got there, and they had to
push them out.
Push them out, and they didn't go that far.
No, they don't. I mean, because they have set times to drink, you know, so they'll come in. In fact, we'll drink at 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening.
Right.
And that's the time they're going to drink. So if you come in with a vehicle or whatever it is, they'll just run off 50, 60 yards, wait for you to go, and then they'll come in and drink. So if you got to follow an animal or whatever it is, then it's like, oh, fuck, I've got to move around these guys. I've got to, you know, get around.
Still got to get my water is what they're doing.
Yeah. They still want to get their water. Doesn't matter.
That's what I said. I'm like, because the trackers came, you know, when they started, they're like, hey, we're going to go track. And I'm like, I told my wife, okay, stay with the vehicle, stay in the vehicle. I'm like, wait a second. I can't leave her here by herself.
If she's in a vehicle, she's generally fine. They could probably roll a vehicle.
And that's what Ethan said and all them, but I'm like,
Jurassic
flip
Park.
It over on her ass.
I'm like, as long as she's in the cab, she's fine.
She'll be rolled around a little bit, and that's about it.
She'll be dizzy.
In my head, I'm like, I want to go on this track so bad, but I'm like, I can't leave you here by yourself. So I did stay with her, and they went off and tracked. But I'm like,
you did the good wife thing.
Dude, the truck came and got us because the Cape Buffalo. The Cape Buffalo didn't move.
No, they won't. I mean,
they don't give a fuck.
They did
that time of the day is their drinking time. You know, and they're gonna fucking. I want to drink water right now, and I don't give a shit about anything else.
What's this truck gonna run me over?
When do you ever see that?
Try me, bitch.
I mean, if you think of that, I mean.
100%.
A lot of the buffalo that I've shot there have all been on foot, and it's been freaking hours and hard work. Mm-hmm. So you just follow them on. I mean, we didn't ever sit at a water hole to kill a Cape Buffalo. But I would recommend to a bow hunter, let's track them, let's try and get them with a bow, and then let's sit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sit at a water hole. That's your best opportunity. Because
when they're to the closest water hole, you know they're going to go down one that night.
It's the safest option, but I love hunting them on foot.
Ooh, God, that'd be a rush with a bow. It's on my radar one day.
It is unbelievable. I mean, let me tell you guys, rifle bow, you're still shooting them at 30, 40 yards.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So irrespectively, it's a fucking rush that you're not going to do once. That's the scary part is when it gets into Cape Buffalo, it's going to get, oh my fuck, that was unbelievable.
I will say I never got, we've seen a shit ton of them, but I never got that rush because I said like.
Doug and I saw the herd bull one morning on the way in.
Oh yeah.
Different animal than the normal Cape Buffalo, man.
But I mean, we've seen them like at the water and I'm like, it didn't get my heart racing because I'm like, I'm not going to shoot one of these type deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it wasn't like when we saw that herd bull.
It was like.
That thing looked around back at us like, I dare you to fuck with me. Try me right now. You will die.
He was like, get out of the trip.
I just think it'd be cool to build, like have to build an arrow set up heavy enough and have a bow heavy enough and go in anticipation
for
that specific animal and then do it on foot, like you're saying. Like,
the flight you're going, you built the arrow for it. It's both unbelievable. Set up for it. Yeah,
that'd be a rush.
Yeah. Hey, Austin, that is probably going to be your biggest rush of your life is when you go in there and you get the right broadhead, you get the arrow weight, you put four fucking veins onto your arrow because you wanted to stabilize, because you've got that big broadhead up front, and then you shoot it, and then it's the stalk and getting in that 30, 40 yards.
That'd be fun.
It is. You get a new carbon lead at 75 fucking pounds.
That's all you need. 75 pounds with that 850 grain arrow with the four blades.
My air bow.
Yeah.
Four fletching. Yeah. Air bow. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more awesome than that.
Yep, that'd be a blast.
And you bury that arrow in that bastard, and all you see is your fletching sticking out when he takes off.
Hey, wait.
Dude, your butthole, you couldn't hammer, what would Fred Eichler say? You couldn't hammer a greased BB in my ass. With a hammer.
Wait, time out. Sam, when are you going to Africa?
When am I going?
July.
I'm coming.
Should we book a hunt?
All right, K Buffalo, here we come.
Should we book a quick hunt?
Grizzly stick, Victor Hierro.
All I'm going to say is, I was literally just the other day, I was watching a video from on Nature's Metal on Instagram.
Pretty.
And dude, it was a video of these Cape Buffalo just tossing this fucking big ass lion around like a fucking toy.
That
was insane, dude. They're taking turns just taking this lion, kicking up, flying it up in the air and fucking stomping it out, kicking it up, flinging it up in the air.
You know how
beating the fuck out of this lion, dude. I'm like, holy shit.
You know that's how they don't give a fuck.
They don't care.
Fucking up lions like that. Hey, I want to hear a story when a dude got just wrecked by if it's a tragic story, I don't really want to hear. But
No. I've been fortunate. I mean, most of the lions, buff that I've killed, and it's been, you know, non-eventful. But you know, we had this guy come out with a pistol in 2010, and he wanted to kill one with a 45 caliber 400 grain bullet in a pistol and a revolver. Now, I was excited because I've never done one.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Wild West.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
how close you got to get for a shot like that?
Same 30, 40 yards. Yep. I mean, it's going to be a standard thing. You know, he was no fucking John Wayne, but.
Hey, you know who that is?
I'm going to find out. He actually sucked.
Yeah.
Shitty shot. Never shot it before.
He was an incredible actor. John Wayne.
But, he's from Iowa.
Templeton, Iowa.
Ouch.
Well, he did that whole African capture and all that sort of stuff. You know, that big old video.
Oh, that's Templeton.
But coming back to that, you know, I shot, well, I guided a lot of Cape Buffalo in my life and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I booked this guy and he came in and we shot a couple of small animals. He had a 357 revolver, and we shot a clip springer and a warthog and whatever it was. And now it was time for the Cape Buffalo.
Fuck.
So
you do that like they get warmed up for the big show, pretty much.
Yeah, I like to do that. You know, give the guy
kind of shot these.
Give the guy the confidence and everything like that. And we shot it a bunch of times, and I created these sticks where you could just put a pistol on, steady up on it, and, you know, make a pretty good shot.
Is this guy using, like, iron sights or, like, a scope or something on it?
I had a scope.
Yeah.
You know, but a real close, I think it was
probably like an aim point or something. Like a red dot type deal.
No, he had a scope. I think it was a 1-4 power or it was. And when he asked all the questions, I said to him, well, you know, we'll probably kill this thing at 40 yards, you know. And anyway, we found this bull and we tracked him. We tracked him and we found him. And we got up to him and he was actually sleeping under this under this little jackal berry. It's a top of a acacia tree with these berries on. And he was fast asleep under there. And so we got all set up and got ready. And as we're getting ready, this female bushbuck jumped up. I didn't even see her in the grass, and she sped right past him. Well, he spun up and he looked straight at us. And I went,
how far is he at this point?
35 yards.
Oh, fuck. Oh, okay.
So I'm going, oh, fuck, that's not a good
Who
shot.
The fuck woke me up?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like looking, you know.
He's like.
He can't see us because we're.
He's like Austin.
Yeah. He's, voice Austin, you know. So anyway, he slightly turns. And I said to the guy, there's your shot. Boom. And he takes off. I think, okay, cool. That's got to be a good shot. I mean, I didn't have my binoculars. I mean, it's fucking, holy smokes.
35 yards.
Yeah, I was a lot younger than I could see that far. And the bull takes off, and I've got my dog with me, and she takes off. She goes, she spins around, she runs around, and she comes back. And I think, oh, fuck. Couldn't have missed that, you know. So we walk across. We go to where he was lying. No blood.
Nothing.
I'm going, oh, my fuck. This is.
Stuart, tilt your mic down towards you just a wee bit. Perfect.
So I'm going, okay, this is not fantastic, but let's see what happened. So we're walking along, and we're on his tracks, and we follow, and my dog's not doing anything. She's just, like, running next to us. She's not even interested. So after a while, I mean, probably 5-10 minutes, there he is. He's probably about 60 yards. So I put up the sticks and I said, shoot him again. Or shoot him. He takes off. Still nothing. And I go, okay. Surely this fucking guy couldn't have missed him at that distance. No blood, nothing. So I said to the guy, we had a cameraman and a couple of other PHs. And I said, tell you what, guys, let's go and grab a bite to eat. We know general areas, and we're just going to pick up his tracks. No, let's get on to him. We got him, let's get him. So we walk in, and there's this little creek on our right side, and there's a lot of reeds and all that, and I hear these oxpeckers. Now, oxpeckers you get a red bull and a yellow bull oxpecker who, you know, they eat the parasites, the ticks and that off the
animal. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yep. Doug knows. He's a bird guy.
So they'll always... Our big thing with buffalo.
Interesting birds.
Our big thing with buffalo, if you hear oxpeckers, there's a good chance they're buffalo there. You know, you'll always, oh, shit, there's. So you look out, you look into the bush, you try and figure out if they're there. And, you know, these oxpeckers were on this reed bed, and I'm going, oh, fuck, this thing's lying in this reed bed. We're going to have a bit of shit over here. Well, cut a long story short, we had the cameraman walk up, we had this young PH, myself, carrying sticks. My tracker carrying my rifle and the guy with his pistol. And I walk over this ridge, and all I hear is this.
And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my fuck.
Oh, my fuck.
So I try and put my sticks out. I don't know why. It was just like instinct. You want the stable shot. A client picks up the pistol to shoot. As that buffalo gets to him, I push him away. He runs between us. And there's another young PH with us. He shoots. I think he shot over the top of the bull. And I look around and I see, I thought the bull had this guy wrapped around his horns. But what had happened, he had knocked the kid, and the kid was flying at the same speed he was running. Type of thing.
So the guy that was shooting the pistol?
No.
Or the PH?
Another one of the PHs.
Okay.
He was flying through the air, and all of a sudden, I think the buffalo realized that this fucker was just flying in front of him, and he hooked him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and he threw him into the top of this acacia tree. And while he was falling, I mean, acacia's got these big-ass white, you guys saw them, those big, long, white thorns.
Mm-hmm.
He was falling between the branches, and thank heavens, he fell behind the base of the tree. And that buffalo hit the base of the tree. Whoosh. And he was going the tree and going the tree. And the other PH, I'm shouting for my rifle, and the other PH had ran down, ran in and shot the buffalo from the side. I don't know why he fucking didn't shoot him in the head. He shot him from the side, and as he was reloading, the buffalo turned around. And this dude, he was 170-odd kilos, which is over 300 pounds. But he was a rugby player. He was just fucking muscle. I mean, he was
Jacob.
He was probably 6'7", just muscle.
Damn, okay. Bigger than me.
Bigger Jacob. Bigger than
but he was a rugby player, and he played for our provincial sides. And this fucking buffalo was burying this guy in the grass.
Not oh, sand. Shit.
He was pushing him into the grass. And all of a sudden, I saw him hook him. And it looked like he was shot out of a fucking shotgun. You know, those cannons? Mm-hmm. This big dude was flying through the air.
Jesus. Oh, my God. So this bull had whipped him up and threw him.
Hooked him in the thigh and threw him.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, we killed this bull when that guy hit the ground, we killed this bull.
How many times has this bull been shot at this point?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, right. You're just taking shots.
At this point, you have no idea.
We have no idea.
Self-defense at this point.
I'm calling for my gun, and there's a bush no fucking bigger than this tub over here, and my tracker's hiding in it. And I see my rifle come out the fucking top of this bush. How a fucking dude fits in a little bush like that, no one knows. Concealed, no seen, nothing. You know, we kill this bull, lands on the ground, and now we're going, what the fuck? This happened in 10 seconds. That whole...
Total fucking chaos.
That whole scene I've just told you was 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I see this guy, when he was flying through the air, he was clutching his thigh. And when he hit the ground, he was in that fetal position, still holding his thigh. And when we got to him, that bull had stuck him in the thigh.
With his horn.
With his horn. And let me tell you something, those horns were fucking as blunt as my elbow. Ugh. You know? And
went through his thigh.
Yeah. So we're trying to get... I ran 2 miles to my truck trying to get, you know, helicopter in. And
yeah, there's arteries and all the shit in your leg like that.
So finally we get an ambulance in, get the guy out of there, and then my client and I are sitting there. All right, what do we do now? He's giving his shirt to stuff into the guy's wound in his thigh and all that sort of stuff.
Tied off.
Yeah. And so it's my tracker, myself, and the client. We roll this bull up, and he doesn't have a shirt, so I give him my shirt because he took his shirt off to stuff into the guy's wounds and all that sort of stuff. And we take a few photographs. I winch it onto my truck, and we run back. We run back to the lodge or to the skinning area and to get this bull skinned out. Obviously, it's his trophy, and we take photos and blah, blah, blah. So the guy that was thrown into the top of the tree and fell behind the base of it, he had a serious amount of stitches from, you know, it was more the thorns and that. His gun was broken. He was reloading when that buffalo hit him, so it just broke his stock in half, you know.
Oh, shit.
And the other guy that was hooked in the thigh.
The 6'7" guy.
Yeah, he went in for 6 hours of surgery to fix all the basically... All, you know, that thing had done so much damage. They found grass and sand under his knee.
Oof.
Oh. Under his knee and halfway up his back.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where that horn had gone to.
Up his back?
From his knee to half his back.
Half his back. It had gone into his thigh. And I'm talking about this horn was as blunt as my elbow. It had gone in the inside of his thigh, below his knee, and all the way to the
middle of his back.
Pretty much just wrecked his entire leg.
So they cut him open. They had to clean all that up. They had to restructure his nerves because all his nerves are clumped together and all that. So he went for 6 or 7 hour surgery. And
Oh my gosh. So build your arrow is good if we're gonna go kill one with a bow.
I don't think we want to go down there with a whitetail set up. I think that's the moral of the story.
No, I got a 330 grain arrow and a rage expandable.
Saying that, I'm glad I stayed with my wife on the fucking track on that one.
Jeez. I'd say, honey, you're on your own. Daddy runs a 20-year-old girlfriend. Daddy's scared. Man, you got a whitetail guy coming in that's on the mobile hunter forums. Yeah, I'm just going to shoot him in the guts with my 2-inch rage expandable with a 330 grain arrow. Because
aim for the middle.
It won't even go through the skin. The
I bet it wouldn't.
Just bounce off.
Let me tell you something. A rage broadhead will not fucking penetrate the skin on
Doug, it'll be like that movie with Jack Black where you hit
Year one.
So
I do have a few Patreon questions. I gotta say, my fault. I end up posting these Patreon questions late. I should have done this way in advance.
That's good.
Weird about like keeping guests. I try to keep my guests secretive, and I don't know why. It's like in my mindset.
You just gotta let them go.
I gotta relax with that and just post these like more in advance. So there's only a few questions here, but this is one question that Paul writes. I've read on some African outfitters about minimum draw weight and arrow weight, and then with Eric having to use heavier arrows with the giraffe, what do you guys recommend?
So for I would say anything from Cape Buffalo and upwards, I would go 75 minimum. I mean, the bows are incredible nowadays. I'd say 75 minimum draw weight, and then I would go for about 850 grain arrow.
850.
That's for big. That's for like Cape Buffalo animal.
Yeah. Cape Buffalo giraffe and up. Lion, lion stipulates that you got to shoot them with something a lot at the same. Bullshit. A lion fucking is soft. I mean, you can, I mean, I've had guys kill lion with rage, you know, at 40 yards, and that fucking lion runs 20 yards and he's stone dead. They're soft. They got a thin skin. They've just got high adrenaline. Mm-hmm. But you cut his lungs or you touch his heart or whatever it is, he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But on your heavy stuff like Cape Buffalo, giraffe, hippo, rhino, anything like that, I would minimum recommend 75 with an 850 grain arrow. Mm-hmm. And I would put on that, the total weight would be 850, but I would put a minimum of 220 to 240 grain broadhead onto that with an insert and everything.
Yeah.
You can play around with it. And when you start going heavy like that, you want that fourth vein on there. Mm-hmm. It stabilizes that arrow so much quicker. I mean, you know, prior to us being smart about, you know, putting the fourth vein onto there, we'd always go, you know, we'd try and work everything out, you know, and then, you know, obviously one of these gurus got, hey, let's put another vein onto the arrow, which stabilized it so much quicker. But we were still shooting 110-pound bloody bows in those days. Fucking not every Tom, Dick, and Gladys could draw it.
Gladys.
You know, 110-pound bow.
Not Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
Dick, and Gladys.
No, because remember, we got girls now, too, so we've got to add the Gladys in there.
Yeah, bless her hearts.
Yeah.
Call Doug.
So I remember when I first started bow hunting for the dangerous stuff and, you know, the thick-skinned animals and stuff like that. We never thought, I mean, we never had the speed that we have nowadays. So we're always looking at those. I remember guys coming out with, I mean, a Matthews Black Widow or a Black something, 110-pound.
Yeah, it's like what Jeremy shoots.
The isn't it the Matthews, like, fucking safari.
Yeah.
Bow or something. I think it's called.
That's what Jeremy Beck shoots.
That goes up to like 90 fucking pounds. Dude. 90,
well, I mean, 90
some pounds.
I remember having a guy come out with one of those Matthew safaris.
Yep. Yeah.
And we put on the scale and it was like 102 pounds. I mean, I couldn't even fucking draw the thing. Well, I thought I was pretty strong.
And he's like, no problem.
Yeah.
Hoyt offered like, I can't remember exactly what they called them, like the big six limbs. Or the big whatever
big
you call
five.
It, big five,
big
five limbs,
yep. Big five limbs.
They ordered they had special order limbs for I think whatever bow, like main flagship bow you wanted to order. You could, you know, Cam Haynes is like doing a pull up and pulling that bow back.
Look, and I mean, obviously there's a lot more specialized guys than me and all that sort of stuff. But I always go, guys, I'm a great guy for speed. But you know what? The heavier your arrow is, the better penetration you're going to get. And we've always, I mean, we've done all these different tests with two blades, four blades, three blades, whatever else it is. You got to look at the best arrow weight with a good front And I'm talking about a good friend, a good ass broadhead up. That's not going to come apart when it hits bones and
yeah.
and stuff like that. Generally, we don't try and shoot through bones, but Cape buffalo have got, you know, rib bones that sort of overlap.
So wild to me. Is it just so when they fight that another Cape buffalo don't fuck them up?
It's just that pure pressure when they knock one. They generally, it's a frontal fight, but they'll turn, you know, and the broadhead is what, I mean, the double ribs is whatever hits them from a side. But 99% of the time, they're frontal fighters, you know.
That's so wild.
So you're getting that. So people say, oh, well, I'll never shoot a Cape buffalo with a 2 or 4 blade broadhead.
Pussy.
You know, we'll only shoot it with a 2 blade. But, I mean, we've done so many tests with, you know, shooting penetration with 2 blades, 3 blades, 4 blades. And obviously, you know, the 3 and the 4 blades had less friction when they go through something. So if you think about it, when you've got 2 blades, it hits it and it closes on the shaft. Mm-hmm. When you've got 3 blades, there's little fingers, so there's not much friction on the shaft. So when you've got 4 blades, there's even less friction on the shaft. So you're getting way more penetration. But the big thing is when you're hitting bone, you don't get the flappers. Yeah. So that's why the 2-blader is better for those type of things.
Well, that's what I liked when we had the guys in from Grizzly Stick talking about single bevel versus double bevel. Mm-hmm. Like a single bevel hits bone and splits it, or a double bevel hits bone and tries to cut the bone.
Yeah.
And I never really had that explanation pitched to me like that. I'm like, oh, well, that does make sense.
And with the single bevel, when it's going through and creating that wound cavity, it's spinning the entire time. With a double bevel head, it's once it hits, it stops spinning and it just goes straight.
It's trying to cut.
It's trying to cut through, right?
Right.
And that's fine for the majority of animals, but with the single bevel, when it
kind of works
as hitting and spinning the entire time, it's going through.
It's a spiral axe.
Yeah, it's supposed to be making a bigger wound channel and cutting through everything. And
interesting.
I guess once you get through
getting that friction off the shaft, like Stuart was saying.
I think on when you hit bone, it's pretty much you got the size of the shaft that's going to go through that hole. So, you know, that's why you're hoping with a 2-blader you're going to get the best penetration, hopefully a pass through. Why I say like shooting giraffe and all that sort of stuff, why I love like things like Slick Trick where it's a 4-blader and a frontal shot, you don't need hitting bone. But you're not getting that friction on that shaft when he hits and he goes through. So that's why you get so much more penetration. So shooting giraffe at 40 yards, 50 yards, I mean, yours was fortunately close. You can you shoot that 850 grain arrow. You're gonna bury that arrow in his chest.
Well, and can we just say one thing too? Like, you know, when my first arrow set up, Stuart was like, hey, I'm not going to let you shoot a giraffe with this arrow because it wasn't heavy enough. Mm. It wasn't the right setup. Like, that says something a lot about you, saying you're not just on the money side. You're saying, hey,
respect the animal.
Like, I'm not going to let you shoot this arrow, this combination on this animal. Like, that's a huge hats off to you too.
No. And I was excited because I wanted you to shoot the giraffe. So that's why Austin stepped in and said, hey, I think I have the arrow weight.
Right.
I mean, we were right on that limit.
The moose arrows.
Yeah.
We were right on the line.
We were right on the line, and I just said...
And that's where I said, hey, 20 yards.
20 yards.
If it's over 20 yards, I'm not taking the shot.
Exactly.
That's fair.
And that shows the ethics side of it all.
Right.
You know, it shows 100%. Your ethics. It shows Austin
ethics. And yours also.
And going, all right, we've got to do this within... These are our barriers, you know.
Parameters, for sure.
And if it crosses that, then we pull the plug.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not going to make the shot.
But we were fortunate, you know, everything, the stars lined up, and I mean, we just, it was phenomenal. I mean, the experience, the emotions, everything.
It was insane.
Everything behind it was just, holy shit.
I'm so stoked for you guys to go, Sam. Like, you guys.
I'm getting more stoked by the minute.
You're going to be. Hey, guys, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we have a few more partners to cover. Also, another little tidbit of news in the middle. Hopefully you didn't skip the intro and you listened to everything I said there and everything here. Here's some news. We are going to be joining the Waypoint TV network. So we'll be available there on Waypoint and Waypoint Podcasts. What does that mean for you guys? Nothing, really. You keep listening where you want to listen. If you want to go to Waypoint to listen, that option's there as well. There will be two automated ads in the beginning and probably two in the middle in these mid-rolls. So we're just trying something new. And it's also helping us accomplish more things that we want to do with our brand and hopefully get Eric to move full-time here as well so we can really do more, crank more content, better content, and do different things we want to do and help support our Patreon community even more with more exclusive stuff. So that being said, the podcast is brought to you by Combination Creative. You guys know our buddy Jordan Johnson, Combination Creative. We've worked with them for a long time. Film, photo, design, web, and social. If you have a small business, you need an affordable logo, any marketing work, anything like that. I know most people utilize Combination Creative and Jordan for logo work. So go to combinationcreative.com, say, hey, heard about you through Working Class Bow Hunter, and I need a logo done. Jordan will spice you up good. He understands the outdoor industry, and he understands a lot of other industries as well. So he kind of has creative outlets in different industries, which I think is a very valuable tool. So hit up Jordan. Tell him WCB sent ya. The podcast is also brought to you by Scent Crusher. Scent Crusher really is the leader in ozone and scent elimination using ozone. One item I've been using is the Plus Humidity Generator. It's a little bit different than a lot of the other ozone generators out there. You actually add water to it on like a little like tank on the side. And as it pumps ozone, it's like adding humidity to the air. So it's pretty awesome. They say it's 5 times more effective. Check it out. Scent Crusher, the Plus Humidity Generator. That's an underrated scent crushing unit, I guess you could say. The podcast also brought to you by Trophy Line. A lot of people think of Trophy Line as a saddle hunting company. I think of them as a mobile hunting company because it's not just saddles and platforms anymore. It's a lot more than that. And go to their store. You can use code WCB for everything on the store. I'm almost positive it works for everything. But you need replacement rope bridges, platforms, anything like that. The EDP platform, the Mission, the Wingman. You need the dry bag. There's so much on Trophy Line. The new headlamp, the hip pack. There's all sorts of goodies. Like if you go to their website, you hit load more product and more just keeps popping up. So check them out. Trophy Line, code WCB. They have everything. It's kind of a fun store to just go on there and dream about stuff. It's the ES thigh rig. I call it the hip pack, but it goes on your thigh, which I think I'm going to use that to do like a lot of like hanging hunts, mobile stuff. It's convenient to just have that right there on your leg. Aiders, all sorts of stuff like that. Check out trophyline.com. Use code WCB. I'm going to start saying W like W. Podcast also brought to you by Spy Point Trail Cameras. Use the Spy Point app. You can join the Insiders Club. It makes organizing your trail cams super fucking easy. Hit the favorite button. If you want to request a photo in HD, you can do that as well and get a higher resolution image. Right now, the Flex is $109.99 for a cell camera, a premium cell camera for $110. It's fucking nuts. Check it out. You've heard us talk about the Flex before, starting from last year's ATA podcast. I am running 4 Flex cameras right now, and it's amazing. I never have issues with signal. It does over-the-air firmware updates, so no more fucking with SD cards and pulling them back and adding the new software and having to do that right and then putting it back in and hope your camera updates. This just does it. In the app, it says update firmware. You hit it, and it does it. It's pretty awesome. So check out Spy Point. No promo code for them, but I'll see if that's something we can change. And also, Camel Fire. This is the store where Doug always says, delete your browser history. And I agree. If you don't want your wife to know where you're spending all your money, you might want to delete your browser history or just download the app. She'll never think to look at the app. Same thing if your husband doesn't hunt, but you do. You know, download that baby. But right now they have, I'm on Camel Fire right now. Knives on sale, 50% off, all sorts of different knives. Something for everyone, a lot of good decoys, packs, everything.
There's all sorts of stuff every day. Revolving deals, Euro skull hangers, all sorts of good stuff. So always changing. You'll save some money. If you have a hunt coming up, best way to do it. If you know you're going elk hunting, just stay on Camo Fire on the daily and pick up what you need throughout the year at a like highly discounted rate. You're going to save yourself a lot of money doing it that way. So check out Camo Fire. If you buy something, if it gives you an option to say, hey, working class bone or something here, please do that. That always helps us. We appreciate you guys. I'm going to get back to the episode. Hopefully you're having fun listening to this one, and sorry for interrupting and hitting you guys with the ads, but it's free content. We got to do this to stay in business and support our families. So we appreciate you understanding, and we're so thankful that you gave us a chance and clicked on our faces. Back to the episode. Enjoy. I can't wait to see your enthusiasm when you get home.
I'm not going to lie. I still have dreams about shooting a giraffe, and like I get right, like I wake up and my heart's fucking racing again. I'm like,
I bet.
Oh, fuck. Am I in Africa?
We have another question here, and like we're just talking, so however we want to lay it out. It's probably to Sam. What's your favorite shoulder mount position, wall, pedestal, upright, semi-sneak?
I personally am a semi-sneak guy. I mean, I just love semi-sneak. It's a relaxed animal. Uprights are just, to me, it's old school.
And, up and down.
Yeah, I just, you just can't get...
Too mounted looking?
Yes. I don't know. I love a semi-sneak. Now, wall pedestals, I mean, they're huge right now.
Take about a little more room, though.
Yeah, when we do maybe, I don't know, 25% maybe wall pedestals.
That's pretty more than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's popular.
Hey, is that camera still got a red dot on it, Jacob?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I'm 100% semi-sneak guy.
I would agree with that.
I would, too.
I like the semi-sneaks. But I also like some deer look good on an upright, alert and proud.
Yeah.
I just hate the super sneak.
No, full that's
sneak.
Too.
Yeah, full sneak. Yeah.
Super, but I mean, how often is there a super sneak? Yeah. I mean, who sees that?
It's when I've got one and like his head's down way low. It almost looks like he's getting on that doe when he almost
dogging it down real hard.
But I mean, when you experience that and you kill the deer doing that, that's what you want.
Yeah. You don't see it very often.
It tells a story.
But one of my favorite mounts that I've got in my house is it's called an extreme sneak. So he had 14-inch too, so I wanted to be able to make him fit with the other deer. So I put his head way down, and he looks cool that way.
I have one humble brag. Full sneak. Yeah, humble brag. Humble brag.
Yeah. Humble brag.
14-inch twos, no big deal, but he wouldn't fit if I would have done him upright.
Obviously, other people like the mount because I've got a bunch of them in there, and he's like the one mount that everybody picks on. Yeah. They're like, what's that deer right there? And everybody.
And my dick's huge, and my wife calls me daddy.
What's up?
Yeah. So, what's up?
And I kill big deer.
I kill big deer. And my wife doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I have one full sneak, and I'm like, when I look at it, you know?
Yeah. So are you saying I should not have got my kudu in full sneak?
A super sneak kudu?
His antlers are just like straight back.
You're a dick. You're a dick.
Hey,
super sneak head down.
Yeah. I bet you didn't shoot him like that. He was fucking drinking water and he looked up at you and said, shoot me, Douglas.
I said, Doug, write the check.
No, good thing I didn't get that with the giraffe. Good Jesus, that was a stick off the
full
wall.
Full sneak giraffe.
Oh my God.
It's head on the ground.
Full sneak head down.
Everyone would be knocking their heads on the neck when you walk in.
Full sneak head down mating giraffe. That's great. Here's another taxidermy question. We're going to bounce back up to this one. Any extra tips when keeping out a deer to make a mount turn out better or make the process easier for you?
I think the first thing is don't drag them out by the horns and just not worry about what's going on with that cape. Cape or make or break a mount.
I mean,
100%, you know. And
like you were saying, over logs and just drag them, it's going to pull hair out.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
I see stuff. I have guys pull into our shop and they've got them on those back racks of their, that you slide into your hitch.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll have 13 straps on it. And I'm thinking, fuck. That ain't gonna look nice when it's done. I mean, you're breaking hair. I mean,
dug into the hair.
Yeah. You know,
dug
into the hair.
A cape makes it or breaks it. I mean, it really does. I mean, I don't care how good a job you do. If you got a fucked up cape, it's gonna be a fucked up looking thing. You know,
right? It's the end result you're looking for. Though.
Yeah. And I think for cape wise, to cape it out, practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, And when I'm saying practice, you know, like we have a wild game processing, right? So, and we have a lot of heads that are Europeaning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to learn to cape, go to your local processor and say, hey, you know, let me take some capes off.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube, you can see anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
that's
I've
never caped a deer out.
Well, you need to start.
I know.
I just trust Sam to do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and take my pictures.
Yeah, I mean, trust your taxidermist, of course, but it is good to know, especially on like a Western hunt. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you want to get
right now.
You're talking about getting the face caped off. The face cape.
Yes, you know, and right now with the CWD stuff that's going on, you know, every state's got different rules and laws. Right. Can you bring it in? You know, can you not bring it in?
Yeah,
it's so gray. So let's just try to get ahead of it.
Yeah,
you know, learn how to cape. But like I said, practice makes perfect.
Right.
I mean.
That's pretty good to know, because that's one thing I've never personally thought about is like dragging out my deer. I'm just like, I shoot it. I'm like, okay, cool. Hey, this is fucking awesome. And I just, grab by the horns and start going to town. I never really think about what I'm going over and deer what I'm ruining, I guess. But I've also only got like,
I guess going on two
mounts now. But,
right.
You know, but it's like one of those things that you never really think about dragging out your deer and ruining your cape.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, you got to get that shoulder off of the ground.
Yeah.
You know, as you're dragging it out. Or get a sled. Them sleds save capes.
Yeah,
and plus it's easier to get out, you know?
Yeah.
And less strain.
For sure.
Trying to do all the dragging.
I get so stressed, like, pulling deer out. Like, the second buck I shot this year, we didn't have to go far because I get my truck up pretty close to where he died. But anytime I got to, like, I'm like, ugh.
Like, go over a log or something.
It's on the shoulder. Ugh. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Well, you've always got to get that shoulder.
We have to lift
and head up, you know, just
gotta
make sure that shoulder doesn't.
We got Cameron Haynes, this bitch.
And then when they're pulling in the truck, and you
come
know,
on, Doug, you can put it on your back and hold it.
Yeah,
up
dude.
For your girlfriend.
Did all of them.
Yeah, dude.
I am better than Cameron Haynes.
But a lot of guys, you know, they're pulling that deer in their truck and they're pulling antlers towards the cab. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now they grab a hold of the legs and they pull it out backwards.
Mm. I mean, and that's where it's against the grain. It's a grain stick. Yeah.
Sounds like, well, that's a frustrating thing you experience on probably every year.
Every day.
Yeah. The easiest way to get into a truck.
Yeah. You know, in all my years, you know, nobody's ever said, and I tell them, like, you know, a cape is what it is. You know, I'm not.
I'm
not God here. You've done fucked it up. I mean, what the hell? Right? But I had this little guy come in like 2 years ago, and he took his finger and he picked up. He said, I don't remember that. I said, well, you do now. Because it's there, you know. It's just, they are what they are.
Yeah, you got to be conscious of the aftercare.
Yes, for sure. And then get expedient getting it off of there.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you got temperature, you know. Every now and then we get a rut that's warm, you know, and those deer, they're compromised.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute that deer stops breathing and that blood stops flowing,
bacteria
is growing.
Moisture and heat are your worst nightmare.
Yes, and it's not like meat. You don't hang it.
Question,
you don't,
Sam.
You don't hang it for 20 days.
Guys rinse their deer with their capes with water to get blood or gut shots.
You know, I prefer not, I guess, but I see it a lot, and, you know, sometimes I wonder when we do have trouble if that was what it was.
Like water creates bacteria.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of capes come in where they've put two or three bags of ice down in the cavity and turned it upside down and hung it, and all that fluid comes into that face. Now that face looks like a basketball, you know, and it'll make it sometimes, you know. Sometimes it don't.
We've all been guilty of that.
Yeah.
Damn.
But you if you've nicked the gut and you got some gut material,
you gotta watch it.
You gotta wash that off.
Yeah,
because let's pick the worst of two evils here. Mm-hmm. We know that's bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of deer, you know, they die in a crick. You know, they're going to be, you know, and I don't lose those. I mean,
yeah, right. I get what you're saying.
I prefer you not to. I prefer you to take every precaution on your end to bring me, you know, an animal that is going to hold hair. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, one thing I think is probably worth mentioning. I remember you told me a story. A guy killed like a black bear one time and crammed it into a cooler warm.
Never cram it. Yeah.
It's got to cool down before you put it into a cooler.
Well, this guy.
Because it's going to, cooler retains whatever temperature's in the cooler.
This guy put the cooler in the freezer with the lid up and put the animal in the cooler. and closed the door to the freezer, thinking that he was doing the greatest thing ever. No. Well, he insulated five sides of that animal.
Yeah. And he should have put the just skin into the cooler.
Into the freezer.
Yeah.
And let it cool down.
Yeah.
And another thing, don't roll them up.
No.
Drop them in a bag. You know, drop it in that cooler. When you roll, you're just building insulation, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why they survive all the winters, because the hair insulates.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, think about what you're doing.
Yeah. I know. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But you know, I guess in a lot of guys get in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hate that, because it's like you spend all this time and commitment to the animal. Then once you kill it, you're like, oh, we got to get them taken care of. What you do to a point.
364 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. For that one moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take time and fucking enjoy it, boys.
They're mistakes. Yeah.
We're getting old.
They're mistakes we've all made. I mean, it's easy to make some of these mistakes. Like, I've lost capes to moisture before. I mean,
Western hunts are stressful when you're traveling back.
Oh, yeah. Best thing you can do is keep them dry and keep them cool, and it's going
to
be fine.
Exactly. So when you are out west, get it caped off. If you can get it to a processor where they can flash freeze it, that's best. Mm-hmm. If you can't, bag it, ice it. Don't let that ice water get on that
cape. Don't let it melt and let it sit in the water.
Dude, I was fucking stressing about my elk. I'm not going to lie to you. So my truck got wrecked, so I had to get a rental. And then I had a topper on my other truck, right? So I'm like, gotta spill all my coolers in there. Well, then I was like, stress the fuck out and get all my Grizzly coolers stolen, because that's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So get out there, get this elk quartered out. We get it back to base camp. Me and Franco deboned it. And it's like the coolers are fucking full. Like, we had everything spaced out to where I'm like, man, I got to try to get to a store in a couple hours here. I'm going to try and find some dry ice. Got to get home, you know. And I didn't want them to get wet. I didn't want the meat to get wet. I didn't want the cape to get wet. So I go to all these fucking inbred stores in central Wyoming, and everyone there looks like a mutant. And they're all like, I'm asking for dry ice. They don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm like, all right, God.
They'll give you rice if you ask for dry ice.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, man, everyone's eyes are cross-eyed here. I'm going to drive to Rock Springs. So I feel like I'm in a hurry the whole time. So I end up finding a grocery store. Some sweet limp wrist gentleman, bless his heart, got me some dry ice. So I put 5 pounds of dry ice at the bottom of each cooler, full, like 45 quart to 65 quart. And I'm stressing. I'm like, I hope that's enough dry ice. Turned out it was.
It killed it.
It was enough.
It was awesome.
That'll kill it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was so stressed.
But we've all been there where we hung a deer and we threw fucking 40 pounds of ice.
Yeah, but wet ice. But dry ice, it's like... Oh, I don't know.
It's not the moisture in that context. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, we've all been there where we've hung a deer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Put ice in the cavity when he's saying don't do that.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. No.
If it's 70 degrees on it, you can throw a bag of ice in him. You just don't 100%. Want all that moisture running up into the head of it and getting up in the cave. Yes.
Don't hang it by his back legs, letting all that water
down. I am here to say, though, if you're in Wyoming and you're driving back to the Midwest, if you can get 5 pounds of dry ice for a full cooler, make sure the dry ice is covered in a bag. What I did is I got paper bags from the grocery store and made a layer. And the meat touching the dry ice was frozen solid when I got home after 22 hours.
Right.
And then the ice on the meat on top was cool.
Yeah.
So it stayed cool, but man, was I fucking stressed out. I hated it.
What animal was it, your mule deer you brought home that we had all the concern over, that we thought, man, this thing might be... Something a couple, 2-3 years ago, and it made it fine.
It might have been my mule deer, because when I shot him, it was warm.
Yeah, it was really warm.
It was because I shot him September 3rd or something like that. It was warm there.
Yeah.
And I think I put, what did I do with that one?
Wasn't it wet?
I think I had regular ice in the coolers on that one.
Because I remember telling you it'll be what it'll be. Remember that conversation?
Yeah, yeah. And when I drove home, I drove 3 hours to Rock Springs, and then I woke up and then drove 16 hours straight to get back to the freezer, because I was stressing that hard about it. And it ended up being fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just tried to keep it cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
you know, that's all you can do.
That's how my pronghorn was, too, when I brought back from New Mexico. Like, that was my first out-of-state hunt, honestly. Actually, so like going all the way to Mexico, shoot my pronghorn and stuff, and I brought it back, and I fucking threw it in a cooler with regular ass ice and brought it all the way back up and everything else, and I dropped it off at Old Barn, and I think it turned out fine. No, it's still up. It's still at my buddy. My buddy's doing the taxidermy for me and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's,
why didn't you go to take it to Old Barn?
I took the kid to Old Barn to get tanned.
Why did you have it mounted there?
Because my best friend's a taxidermist.
Is he as good as Sam?
Nah, I don't know. He's pretty fucking good. He's pretty fucking good. I don't know if he's as good as Sam. Sam's been doing it for a long time.
Look at me.
Hey. For quite a while.
Yeah, so, well, I'm dusty.
But the thing is, like,
why'd you take it somewhere to take it from Sam and take it somewhere else?
You took it from Sam.
No, I spread the wealth. Yeah.
He's trying to feed his family,
dude. Yeah. I'm sure he's fine.
Where's this fireball at? Give him a five.
My best friend from school and stuff, he's like a brother to me, and he went to school for taxidermy and stuff, and he said he wanted to do it. So I'm like, all right, let's go.
So I got forms on his mounts.
He is actually for my whitetail. He's gonna.
Hey,
he bought a G2 form for it.
Hey, shout out to your boy, man. Shout out to your boy.
Yeah. So that's another thing too.
So now he gets half a fine.
Yeah. So that's another thing too. If my buddy Matt Moon can figure out how to get a G2 form, then anyone can. I love him.
Hey, shout out to Matt.
But everyone can. Yeah. So, but anyways, what I'm saying about my pronghorn is I brought it up, and I didn't really know what I was doing. But then my buddy told me, he's like, hey, you need to get that fucker getting tanned right away because that's gonna start slipping and all this other stuff. And
they slip on a sneeze. Yeah,
that's what he said. I'm like, shit, fuck. I'm like, what am I doing? I need to get this thing. So I ran down all the way down to Old Barn and took it to you guys, and you guys took care of it.
I've got hundreds of them. So because I got a locker out there in Blair, Wyoming, and they just save me on low capes because that's the problem.
Because I got that hollow fiber hair, you know. So.
Yeah,
it's like a Gibbs buck.
Them guys out west. You know, they get it right to their taxidermist, but we travel 16, 18 hours home, and a fucking thing slip.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at prong, you know, the hair on a pronghorn, it's like fucking quills.
It is.
I mean, it's little straws.
It's totally like quills. It's fucking hollow, and once you shoot it, you're like, oh, this is so cool. You give it a little tap.
Tap, and it all comes.
It's like, woof. Yeah. Like, holy shit. This is crazy.
They smell wild.
And they're crazy. Yeah. They smell.
So, Sam,
like a giraffe.
A question that kind of. Obviously a lot of we as outfitters in Africa for things like your pronghorn and all that sort of stuff, we've got a couple of animals like the clip springer and all that sort of stuff. So what we do is we skin it out right off. We don't do the eyes, ears.
We skin ours out here in US too.
No, I know. I know. A lot of the fuckers will nice. leave the face on. And
people sometimes wonder. Yeah, yeah. Is that the real eyes? Oh, yeah.
No,
just freeze dry the whole thing and put it on the wall.
Dumbass fucking question. But
so, hey, you kind of walked into that one, Stuart.
You know, when you're talking about, you know, with water and all that sort of stuff. So, yes. You know, because of the heat and that we have back in Africa. So,
and you guys don't really have a lot of water.
No, we carry that shit around. So anyway, so we'll skin it off without doing the lips, ears, eyes, you know, and everything like that. And we'll make a saltpeter, you know, mix. I'll throw two bags of salt into water. It's brown. It's got so much salt in it, and we'll put the cape in there, the whole thing.
Yeah,
and you know, so that's why
we call that a salt brine.
Yeah, brine. Exactly. 100% the same thing. And we do it with zebra hides, anything, you know, especially when it's warm.
That's why it's all fucked up when it gets to the United States.
They've got all this shit over there.
The name of the game is you're just trying to draw moisture out.
Well, we're trying to kill the bacteria.
Yeah.
That's the big thing is we're killing bacteria.
Yeah.
We use like a antibacterial solvent. Fuck, I've got gallons of the shit in my vehicle. Where, especially right early season, where I'll go out there and I'll shoot like a gemsbuck or anything that's, you know, that eland, anything that's going to hair slip. And we've got these big bars where we'll put the whole hide in. And we won't do it just overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys will come in and skin it out, clean it.
Turn it,
and then they'll dry it and they'll salt it. Mm-hmm. So my big thing was always to kill the bacteria.
Sure.
So when you're talking about, you know, throwing things into ice, cooling it down, there's always that bacteria factor.
Yeah.
So there we have the heat all the time. I mean, you guys experienced it. So we got to come up with different ideas how to kill the bacteria before we can get it to. I mean, most of the time, I mean, we got the skinning shed not far. But, I mean, we landed up killing two zebras and trying to get vehicles to them and staff to carry them out to the vehicles and whatever else. As I was pulling on this zebra tail, fucking half the tail came in off with my hand. And I went, oh, my fuck, what am I going to do now? We skinned it out. I threw it into this brine with Dettol, which is a solvent which kills bacteria. I was able to salvage the hide.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Where there
it
wasn't,
makes you sick when you just go.
Yeah.
And the hair comes off your hand.
So fortunately, it was just the tail side of things where the guy then still did a pedestal on the shoulder and whatever, but he still had the back end to do it was. So I just fucked the tail up. But it was the heat, you know, that caused that. Yeah. So that's why we try and not do the late, like we were talking about it earlier, where we don't, you know, with Eric, where we don't hunt like our summer, but we have solutions for that. So that's why having a taxidermist here is always a shit. Is this a good idea? If it's not a great idea, then we're going to think of something else.
You know, just like us, when we thaw our hides, you know, we get hides that we can't work up that day. So they get rolled up and they get put in our big walk-in freezers. But we thaw them in a pickle.
Yeah.
In a brine.
Yeah.
That way, you know, if you lay it on the floor to thaw it, and that's what 90% of the taxidermists do because that's what they
lay them down.
They lay it on the floor. Well, the outside of that hide will get soft quick, right?
Yeah.
And the inside stays grows where they can't work on it. So now that outside of that hide
is actually starting to get all the bacteria.
Yes, yes. So like in our tannery, if you watch, if something's really going to slip, it slips on the bottom of the hide.
Yeah.
And the reason why is they've laid it out on the floor to let that thing thaw. And it thawed 24 hours before the face thawed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we do, we actually build a pickle and we drop the whole thing in a pickle.
Frozen in the pickle.
And it thaws in that pickle overnight. Well, now, you know, you've got no way bacteria
going to get in there.
It's going to get into that thing.
Is it bacteria what causes the slippage?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam, are you guys the largest tannery in the country?
No, we're kind of small.
Really?
I mean, if you look at tanneries, there's several, two or three large ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking $10, $11 million a year companies.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then there's some mid-size.
We're in the wrong business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one, I'll tell you.
Hey, we got another building.
Make a hell of a deal.
Yeah. 2.0.
We'll work that out. But we're kind of a mid-size, I would say. We're not small. A lot of guys, there's a lot of one-man shops. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
They specialize in tanning.
Yeah, there's not enough tanneries in the United States. I mean, it's a lost art.
There's one in my hometown. One guy that does tanning in my hometown.
Yeah.
How much can like one guy actually do, though?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
It depends on how dedicated you
are. Well, that's all he's doing.
Yeah, it depends on if they work or not. You know, we have in our tannery, I think we've got three full-time shavers and one part-time shaver. And that's the hardest part. I mean, that's the
shaving.
That's the craft end of the deal.
To make a good quality product.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to get it down to that real thin where it's workable.
Because I've seen your guys doing like running the fleshing tool. And I don't want any fucking part of it.
No, I don't either.
Hell no. I cut my goddamn hand off.
Yeah, I would cut it. But anyway, we got basically four guys doing that. Three full-time, one part-time. And then we've got three full-time people that are taking them green and getting them salted, getting them ready to go into the pickle. And then I've got two people that we call them support people that's getting the hide out, getting in the pickle,
kind of
watching the acid. Yeah. And we do 250 a week with that.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
250 a week.
250 a
week. Whitetails.
Whitetails. Yeah.
Holy shit.
And you're getting them in from all over the country.
Yeah. Last year we did 15,000.
Whitetails.
Whitetails. Well, a combination.
Okay, gotcha.
Primarily whitetails. I would say 80% whitetails.
Is it like the same pickling and everything for like a whitetail?
100%.
Like everything's the same.
Everything's the same. The biggest difference is like the African game and stuff, the rehydration process, you know, trying to get that thing soft. And that is not a safe state because you cannot have the acid in there. I mean, you're building the salt brine.
You have to like rehydrate without bacteria, but also can't be the pickle. Yeah.
And there is bactericides that we add with that rehydrate, but it's dangerous. I mean, and if you don't get it soft enough, it's hard for the taxidermist. You get it too soft, all the hair falls out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really, really fine line to ride, you know?
I don't like that.
Yeah, I think last year...
It's too much pressure.
We canned for 700 and some. I put it on a post today, and I don't remember the exact number, but out of them 700 and whatever, we're going to have about a 95% return rate.
Jeez, that's good.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, there's
that's unbelievable.
There's people that you're just not going to please, you know, and those people just need to fuck off. I love people. You know, I do. I love every one of them, but I'm not going to, I'm almost 60 years old and I ain't fucking dealing with it no more.
Hey, I love it, dude.
Love it.
What's the weirdest animal you've been asked or weirdest thing you've been asked to tan?
Dogs.
Dogs, really?
Dogs, yeah.
Do you do them?
Oh, we done one.
It's a coyote, man.
Yeah.
Easy.
Air Bud. What was that Air Bud?
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
Air Bud.
Yeah. So I had this dude call me.
Not Air Bud.
He says, hey, I've heard a lot about you.
Was it actually Air Bud?
Or? No, he called me. He says, I've heard about you. He said, will you do our Golden Retriever? And I said, no, we don't do dogs, you know. He said, oh, really? Who can you hook me up with? So I give him like five people that do dogs.
How weird, first off.
So he calls me back and he says, they won't take my dogs.
Just cremate the fucking thing and bury it in the yard.
He says, I want you to do my dog. I said, well, first thing is you've looked at your dog for 15 years and I've seen it laying on the slab dead.
Right.
So your dog has a personality and a look. And he said, well, it's not my dog. I said, what the fuck are you wanting to mount it for, you know?
It's not his dog.
Yeah, he wanted it mounted.
Yeah, he says...
I found it, I want to mount it.
Well, no, he said, it's mom and dad's dog. He said, it died, I got it in the freezer. He said...
First of all, that's weird already.
Yeah, he said, I just want to be able to put it in the window of my truck and on 100-degree days at Walmart and see how many times they call the cops. I said, is that worth $5,000? He said, well, is that what you're going to charge me? I said, $5,000, I need $2,500 up front. He said, I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
So he brought this fucking Air Bud, right, with $2,500.
No, he did not.
Yes, with $2,500.
No, he
right?
did not.
So this dude walks in.
I'm, like, baffled by that. I'm so... That's
a hot Air Bud.
This is an expensive troll.
Yeah, he came all the way up from St. Louis, and he was a farmer down there, right? And this guy walks in, and I could see... He's not playing with a full deck. I mean, this guy has money. He has money, and he's
growing corn.
Well, yeah, he is goofy.
He's paying $5,000 to get a dog stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I take his $2,500, right, and I go back out. I take Air Bud to the tannery, right? So the next day, I throw it in the acid so we can get it thawed out, right? And the boys come in. They said, we ain't skinning that dog. I said, it's like a coyote. Well, we ain't skinning that dog. So I had to go out and skin that fucking dog.
You're on your own.
On my own.
Oh, fuck. No.
On my own.
Fire those pussies.
So now I'm 2 years into Air Bud, and I haven't done it because I've already got his $2,500, right? I don't want to do it. I mean, no, I literally don't want it. So he calls me. He says, are you going to do my dog? I said, yeah, I'll get to it. I said, you know, sucks to be me, but I will get to it. And he said, well, have you seen that new soft taxidermy thing?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
He wants a pillow.
Yeah. He wants a fucking Air Bud pillow.
I said, yeah, I've seen that. He says, can you do it with that soft taxidermy? I said, yeah, which is going to be great for me because I don't have
way
to make
easier.
A form,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it's
easier.
Yeah, way better.
So, stuffed animal. He says, can you put lighted eyes in it?
Jesus Christ.
I said, for another $500, I'll light his eyes. He says, well, I'll pay $500 more.
This dude hates his parents.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's going to give it to him for Christmas.
So I went to Radio Shack, and I got the little red LEDs, and I hot glued them into the back of the eyes, and I wired them all the way up to his asshole, and I got an on-off switch, right?
Oh, in the butt.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a push button on his butthole.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a red on-off button.
So I took
a chain fucking switch.
I took a bear head and I injected it in his head and I filled it full of caulking. And then I could sculpt it in to make it look like this dog. And then I just filled it full of beanbag beans. I sewed his ass up. And I took a dog bed and I sewed him in the dog bed like he's laying there. Well, I threw it over inside. Everybody come in thought that dog was alive.
They grow and they jump back. They
go, what?
Well, who did that? I said, oh, I don't know.
Soft taxidermy.
Yeah. So I wasn't there when he picked it up. And there was my wife and another little girl in there. And they called me and he said, this guy's a creep. You need to fucking get in here. he had weirded them out. I mean, he was.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah, he was weird.
$5,500 for a fucking air.
I know.
Is that what he
but
paid
it had
total?
Lighted eyes.
Yeah, it was $5,500 total.
He yeah. paid you to well, yeah, because I charged him another $500 for the lighted eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I thought I.
So my when
air
I,
bud,
when I
the prank.
When my dad and I've told this story on the podcast before. I thought real
think
fast.
I know where you're going with this.
Oh yeah.
The first taxidermist we ever went to, we just found somebody close, you know, and he did an okay job, you know, for luckily for the first taxidermist we just found.
Right.
He's a strange cat. For a long time, I thought taxidermists were just kind of like mortician style type people.
We're all we're all a little
off center.
Yeah,
but you're not that way, dude. Yeah. Like,
well, I really am.
I've met some taxidermists that have put their wieners in some weird places, man. You can just tell.
Bestiality.
I got to plead the fifth. I'm pleading the fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What's that called? Bestiality.
Yeah. You can tell some of these cats are just like not wired right. Chain. And that was like my impression initially. And then for some reason, I wanted to be a taxidermist. But,
you want to get into that?
Off this thing. Yeah. I don't know why. I just like, oh, I get to be around deer hunters. But anyway, this guy told me this story. These people came in with this dog. We're like, we want this mounted, whatever. And he's like, I don't normally do this. Like, I'm going to have to charge you a fee. No, yeah, we want it done. He goes, just so you know, like, once I get going into the process, like, we're in.
Right.
So he said, they leave. They talked him into it. He's like, okay, start skinning this dog out. They change their mind and turn around and come back and open the door. Because this guy had, like, his taxidermy shop was in his basement, and his side basement door, like, the top half was the window. Right. And right through the window is the skinning, like, countertop he had set up. Yeah, and that's where he just, everything came in. He put it there in the cardboard box and cardboard laid out on the countertop, and that's where he skinned. And here they come back to see him skinning out their dog that they had changed their mind on and turned around a half hour later. And he said they just, like, distraught. And he goes, after that, I said I'll never touch any pet taxidermy ever again.
Yeah. There's people specialize in it. And a lot of people pay the money for it.
I mean, get
it's
it.
Expensive.
You could probably make a lot of money for not doing a lot of volume.
Yeah.
But
it's a niche.
Fuck that.
It is a niche.
So I got a question for you. It's not me personally, but I had
that's what they all say.
So,
yeah.
I'm asking for a friend.
My brother,
a guy I know.
My brother, he always wanted to be taxidermy when he died. Yeah. Is that legal?
Oh well,
to taxidermy a person,
it depends.
Hey, they do the human museums where they do that.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying.
That's called wax.
He wanted it's to be wax. He always said he wanted to be taxidermy with like a Budweiser in his hand and a cigarette in the other hand, sitting in a rocking chair.
Yeah, and then whatever.
Prop me up.
You're not Joe Diffy, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There was an article on the internet earlier this week because taxidermists are pretty much off center a little bit. Okay, so. I Google taxidermy news, you know. Well, some gal, she was a hospital attendant or whatnot, but she had cut off a guy's foot and was taking it to her taxidermy shop to have it taxidermied. And she's going to get some federal charges over this. So my initial reaction would be probably illegal.
Yeah,
did he
but
have nice
I don't.
Feet?
I don't know
Which
if the DNR.
Know.
Yeah, I don't know if the DNR regulates that.
There's no tag for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Might need a CITES permit.
Or what's that?
Fiberglass.
Yeah, it's weird. Weird thing.
Yeah, I told him you'd be better off just doing like the wax museum thing.
Yeah. But they do have some of those sculpted. Museums where it is.
As
like,
long as it's not hot.
Just take some good pictures.
Did he have six toes?
Did he have six toes? Like, what?
Well, they do have those museums in certain areas that have, like, it's real human bodies when you go in. Right. It's like, it's cut in half and shit.
And they're all from China. Did you know that?
Oh, I thought it was just people that dedicated their body to science.
No, I think a lot of them are from China, and a lot of them are actually, like, the... What are those... The fucking... The people that were... Man, they're like
the suicide mountain people,
I guess. Uyghurs, Uyghurs, or something like that.
Are you cussing
Uyghurs,
at me?
Wangers.
anyways,
dude, there's but a lot of what I'm saying
is careful. A lot of those people in those museums were kind of found out to be like maybe not there on their own accord.
Okay. I'll have to do some research then, I guess.
Never heard of it.
Sorry I brought it up.
It ain't my museum.
Hey, this podcast went weird.
Okay, here's a question before we get out of here. Have you guys ever had a weird experience in the woods while hunting that like you couldn't explain? Like you've ever had like
something, what about you, Stuart?
Something creepy happened that you were like, ooh, I don't have an explanation for that. Like I'm not saying Bigfoot, but I'm kind of alluding to that type of experience. Like anything like, ooh, I don't know. I have a weird, whatever it could be. I don't personally. I'm just curious with your guys'.
Is there a Bigfoot in South Africa?
There's lots of them.
A South African bush.
What do you call them?
Bigfoot.
Big buck.
I don't know. They are weird fellas. They got flat noses and big lips and little ears. And there's lots of those fellas.
What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. No. Yeah. You know.
So that's like a Shrek.
I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I guess like, you know, when you're hunting tribal land and all that sort of, sorry, I didn't mean tribal land. But when you're hunting tribal land and you don't see anybody. There's no one around. And you shoot an elephant. And you're sitting there and you're kind of getting everything set up and all of a sudden...
Taking everything in.
All of a sudden, there's a few people around you. Well, where the fuck did they come from?
Really?
And then next minute, 20 minutes later, there's fucking 100 people around you. And you just can't understand where the fuck they came from. You'd never pass villages while you're hunting. And we hunting hundreds of thousands of acres. You don't see villages, whatever it is, and all of a sudden, fuck me, there's a couple of hundred people around you.
For real?
Let me tell you something. It's creepy because you don't see them out there. You know they're
villages. You're in the middle of nowhere.
You're in the middle of nowhere. You know there are villages out there and all that sort of stuff. And you know, obviously being tribal land or tribal trust land, you know... There are villages around there, and the meat and that belongs to them.
Yeah.
I mean, but how the...
Makes a guy think twice before taking a piss out there.
Well, this is it, and how the fact that...
Nice dick.
How do they know that elephants hit the ground?
Yeah, well, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that's a real thing. Like,
oh, no, 100%. I mean, it's...
So they're just waiting for their meat, or...?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
And you know, Doug, that's the only protein they'll get all year.
Right. So yes, that's a blessing for them. So.
It's massive, but it's just fucking creepy.
Yeah.
That
it is kind of creepy.
Holy
like,
shit.
The middle of the night.
It's no. Well, day.
Middle of the night.
Because you know, and then they'll sleep. So you have 2 to 3 hours to get that thing skinned out and out of there. You know, you take the trophy, but the meat belongs to the tribe or the tribal people. So when you sort of on the verge of paneling, cutting up your, well, if it's got to be a, you know, skin for a cape or whatever it is. But most of the elephants are paneled and skinned out like that. So it takes us a couple of hours. And let me tell you something. Within an hour, there's nothing left. It's gone.
Wow.
You know, we should touch base about that, about how good that we do as a hunter for those people are poor.
Oh,
and why aren't they killing the elephant? I mean, because
they know there's you know, prior to outfitters coming into those areas and taking care of the game and hiring, you know, those people, you know, they were poaching. You know, they were setting their snares, trapping, you know, spearing, whatever they could do to get the protein to survive. All of a sudden, they don't have to do that. They're getting the protein, and they're getting a trophy fee on that.
And they get a job.
They get a job. Because now all of a sudden that outfitter that comes into that area is employing them. So they're employing the actual poachers because they're fantastic trackers. They can follow a mouse on a tiled floor, you know, if you want to just be, you know.
Yeah, the trackers are incredible.
Oh, I've always heard that.
They're unbelievable, you know.
When you see them.
So
it's amazing.
It'll blow your mind.
So now you're getting, you're employing those guys that are good at what they do because they've had to survive doing it. And the households are earning money because they've been paid, plus they're getting the protein they were getting from the poaching. So that changes the aspect to it all. So coming to the whole thing about how good the outfitters and the hunters are, you take those outfitters out. And I mean, I'll give you a couple of just examples where you, they've pulled the outfitters out. Kenya, for argument's sake, when they stopped all the hunting in 77 or around that time frame, they pulled the outfitters out of Kenya. Well, the poachers have free range because when you have an outfitter in a hunting area, they have an anti-poaching unit. Well, they don't have one. They have two or three because you're managing 2 to 3 million acres. That's your concession. So you've got to manage it and take care of the game because the government only issues you X amount of tags. So let's say the government gives you 20 buffalo tags. They give you 5 leopard, 2 lion, 5 elephant, and X amount of plains game. Well, if they poached in your area, you don't benefit out of that trophy fee. You've already paid the government for that. You've paid them because you bought the concession, you bought the hunting area, you've paid the government. So they don't give a fuck. So you got to protect it.
Mm.
So you employ all the local guys who are poachers. So they can track, and they're going, motherfucker, I'm not going to get poachers coming. I'm not going to get my mates coming here because they're going to take my job away.
Mm. And they're stealing. They're going to get stolen.
They're stealing now. They're stealing from me. They're stealing from my family because, you know what, if I protect these animals, you know.
I'm getting paid.
I'm still getting the same protein, and the protein's free because they drop it off.
Yeah. But so, see, that's the part people don't know.
No. They don't get it because it's inconvenient to think about.
Yeah.
Like, no, they don't want to know that. You know, yeah. Kurt, that's the big thing is they, you know, all these aunties don't go, oh, you know, fuck you. You guys get paid for the animals that they kill and all that sort of stuff. It's horseshit. There's so much money going out. I look at all these anti-poaching units. I look at the millions and millions of dollars that the guys are putting. I mean, the guys in Mozambique have got helicopters. They've probably got 40, 50 guys working as anti-poaching with motorbikes and helicopters and trucks and everything.
What's the fine if like a poacher gets caught and he's out in the bush in some of these areas, maybe whether it be South Africa or just another country?
They pretty much get wrapped up, you know, taken to the police. Fucking, it's not long they're out of there.
Do they ever get cranked just on site?
You know,
or is that like a don't talk about it?
I think it's a don't talk about it. I think there's some countries that go shoot them on site or whatever else it is. I don't want to say that. You know,
it's like discretion of whatever area you're in with whoever you're dealing with type of thing. Like you can't. You obviously you can't say like, oh, I know a guy who did this or whatever. But.
No, I I'll be absolutely honest with you. I don't know a guy, but I've witnessed some brutal attacks on poachers. You mm-hmm. know. Where the game scouts that'll come with you, you know, on your hunts and your
support. What's a game scout?
So he's employed by the government.
Okay.
So like a DNR.
He'll come with you on all your hunts. So when I told you about those elephant and charging and shooting, they basically give the hunt report back.
Right.
And you find guys panning for gold or illegally fishing or setting snares or whatever it is, they beat the fuck out of those dudes. I'm not talking about the fuck. I'm talking about the fuck out of those dudes.
Really?
They beat them within inches of their lives. And the older guys they've got a little more respect for, where, you know, the guy will lie on his stomach and his feet will be in the air and they will take a club and beat the bottom of their feet. I'm talking, guys, I've witnessed this. I've seen it. I know it. I'm not beating around the bush here, but those guys are so harsh on their own people. But it's the government that has fucked up, that can't employ anybody, you know, that have fucking ruined the country, and these people are trying to survive. They're not poaching because, I mean, some people, some countries, they are, they poach and sell and poach and make money and whatever it is. These guys are trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to feed their families. Why do you think a fucking a poacher will take $50,000 for a rhino horn? That'll feed him and his family for fucking years.
Yeah.
Not a couple of months. I'm talking about 5 to 10 years where $50,000 will feed that fucker and his family for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think you'll take that money to go and poach a rhino?
They just get an offer too good. They can't really turn it down.
I mean, it's you know, I mean, if you're poor and you can hardly, I mean, you've got cornmeal that you're feeding your family every day to keep them alive, and all of a sudden you get $50,000 to go.
You're
going
to do it.
To go and kill a fucking rhino. Who wouldn't?
Everyone in this room would fucking do it for their family.
Who the fuck?
You can
see how it's done. It's like,
guarantee it.
Yeah.
And that fucking same rhino that guy killed that rhino for, cut off the horn, goes to the black market and it gets sold for $100,000 a kilogram. So that's 2.2 pounds. An average rhino horn will go for 8 kilos.
Holy shit.
Do the math. That's almost $1 million that fucker will get on the black market for that rhino.
And that's all for like Asian black market aphrodisiac. When we have fucking Viagra.
Yeah. Well, we have.
Yeah.
Blue Chew.
But I mean, you got China. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got everything. I mean, they probably created Viagra, right. You know?
Yeah.
So you have that type of shit that these poor guys have got to deal with.
And, what a mess.
What government can fight with that?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, that's the thing when you talk about hunting, like, I guess, say, foreigners coming into South Africa to hunt and everything else. It's providing, not because when you're talking about poaching, you're talking about $50,000 to one person or something, right? When you're talking about like the market of hunting, it's profitable for everyone.
Yeah.
So everyone's making, they're not just making 50 grand for a one-off rhino to go kill and poach and do whatever they want with it. It's like you're talking like the livelihoods of many more people.
Families. I mean you think
extended families and everything else.
You think of that $50,000 is a trophy for you on a rhino.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy comes in and kills a rhino, it's probably a lot more now, but $50,000 trophy for you on a rhino. So the guy comes in, hunts the rhino, it gets chipped, it does all that sort of stuff. Taxidermy earn money out of it. Hunters earn money out of it. The staff earn tips. The hunter earns tips. Mm-hmm. It goes to the taxidermist. He mounts it, whatever it is. Then the shippers earn money. So all of a sudden, that rhino that was that they paid $50,000 for, all of a sudden is $75,000 worth, mm-hmm. because it's benefited all these other institutions to get it before it's shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's poached, there's only one fucking dude that's getting 50 grand.
Yep. Some guy with a weak dick in Asia somewhere.
And he's probably going to pay a lot more in powder, but, you know.
That's so wild, man.
But the big,
so crazy.
But the big thing is the black market is earning $1 million on that.
Mm-hmm.
So
God, that's crazy.
They're going to pay out 50 grand, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they'll happy pay it out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same as ivory and all that sort of stuff. So we always maintain, fucking open the markets.
Yep.
Stop being cynical and stupid about this thing. Open the fucking markets. Make it all legal. Flood the market. In South Africa right now, we have more rhino horn in captive protection to, you know, at one stage, I think the stats came through a couple of years ago, we were losing 1,500 rhino a year. Just in South Africa, 1,500 rhino. We have that same amount of rhino in storage safes, all that sort of stuff, that can supply that market for 30 years without a fucking rhino dying.
Mm.
But we have all the people going, well, we don't want rhino hunted or killed or whatever else it is, so we're going to ban it. So we're going to stop it. You open that market, You've got all those people that can sell their rhino horns to Asia, wherever the fuck they want to. Flood the market. Kill the market.
There won't be no more poachers.
Then there's no demand for it.
Yeah, no money.
Right now, there's a black market demand for it. If you go and fucking kill the market, you go and flood it. It's worthless.
Yeah.
So those Asians going, oh, fuck, whatever. You know, I can do that. I can go and buy it. I used to pay $10, and I'm paying a dollar for the same sprinkle, you know, because it's flooded.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, without another fucking rhino dying.
Is there any proof? Does it really do anything? Or is it just like an aphrodisiac, like, myth? Like, and that's, like, besides the fact of, like, the big picture here, but it's, like, if it was, like, you know, like, if it was really that magical.
No, they like,
if Doug is using it, I want to know about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
to make lighthearted of a serious situation, like, is it really a legitimate thing, or is it just wise tale?
Yeah, I think Doug needs it. You know? What
the fuck? No. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, just to break the seriousness of it all.
Not that justifies doing it. I'm not saying that, but it's like,
I think it's all a mental thing, because if you look at one stage, you know, they were buying all velveted antlers out of New Zealand for the same shit, you know. A bear gallbladders for the same shit, you know. So
it's just a shame. Like, I guess what I'm getting at that question is, like, it's a shame that, like, it's snake oil.
Yeah, it is. It's the same thing.
It's snake oil, and animals are dying for this, like, unprovable snake oil for weak boners.
It's human greed, you know.
It's human greed. It's a shame.
In the end of the day, it's exactly that. So what they do is they'll jump onto something. I think it's like what the kids go through. You know, they go through all these different phases with haircuts and whatever the shit they, you know, have and whatever. I guess it's us as well. But, you know, so that phase dies and the next phase comes in. So
yeah.
So it's so hard. You know, when animal products, I mean, we get an animal called a pangolin, which is similar to your armadillo, but it's just got bigger scales.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. Those scales are worth a shitload of money. And a pangolin is in, you know, we're losing them big time because, you know, of course, a poacher will kill one and you'll dry it and sell the scales. And earn, you know, I don't have stats on pangolin, but we're losing our pangolin because of poaching. So it's the same thing, you know. We don't have enough information on how to curb it, but it comes back down to human greed. That's what they've been told is good. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. That's what they need. And
this is rare, so go find it because somebody's going to pay for it.
So you ban all that stuff. So we're talking about Chris and his dad and that going over to CITES to try and lift the bans on a lot of other stuff. And rhino and elephant and all that sort of stuff is a big thing. I mean, people don't understand. There's more elephant in Africa than there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
All we've done is we've restricted their movement. So they become problems.
Mm.
They breed. I mean, yes, their gestation periods are a lot longer than most animals. I think it's 24 months or 18 months or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
So they don't breed as frequently. I mean, fuck, it's a big animal. You know, you're looking at a 7-ton animal. It's not going to need fucking 9 months to, you know, grow in a belly and then grow up to, you know, maturity and all that. It's a big animal. So, but there's a shitload of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people go, oh, they're endangered. No, they're not. We've just fucked up their habitat as human beings, you know. We've encroached on the habitat as tribe, as cities, as, you know, and all that type of stuff. And we're going, well, how do we think? Kill them? No. Or give them more land? No. Or restrict them? No, they're not restricted animals. An elephant goes through where the fuck he wants to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 7 tons. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
You know, you know, he's just going to break whatever's in front of him. And so people.
There ain't no fence stopping that.
No barbed wire fence.
So they don't understand that. I mean, that's how cynical and stupid human beings are. You know, they go,
oh, well, we'll just put a big fence out with big cables and electrify it, and they're not going to go anywhere. Well, elephant's fucking smart. He'll take the smallest in the herd and throw him through the fence and break it. And then they all walk fucking through the fence because it's broken.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild. Like,
it's not.
I've seen that.
It's not. You shouldn't be laughing about it, but it's like.
Well, it's just. It's a different beast, man.
It is.
It's a different beast.
I mean, smart.
It's fucking. I rate it as the king of the jungle.
Yeah, because, that makes sense.
I mean, a lion's a pussy, you know.
Yeah, especially compared, it sounds like compared to like a Cape buffalo or well,
an elephant. I mean, you know, you look, like I said, it's just the sheer size of them, you know, and the intelligence of them, you know. And they only digest 40% of what they take in. So when they go and strip a tree and all that sort of stuff, when you look at elephant shit, it still looks like a fucking bark. And
it's green.
Really?
Yeah, it still looks like a fucking tree, you know.
No shit.
And
that's so crazy.
And they
yeah, right. No shit.
And they eat a lot.
Yeah.
So when
they have to, they're seven times.
When they're overpopulated, they fucking area up.
I bet.
And
yeah,
people don't understand that. You know, we've taken the responsibility of going. Well, should we've got over? You know, past hunting and taxidermy, but we take the responsibility of managing, taking care of it, and we land up. Not being able to cope.
Mm-hmm.
Because before you know it, the area that you've restricted to them becomes a fucking desert.
Yeah.
They destroy everything.
They decimate everything. It makes sense. It makes a ton of sense. It's just inconveniences that people disconnected from it all, non-hunters, people who don't like to think about the killing of animals for the benefit of animals.
It. You know, it's all about understanding. And I think nobody wants to understand it, you know. We're as hunters, and that's where Sam said earlier, what we do for hunting, and I mean, not for hunting, but what we do for wildlife and game populations. And I'm not talking about Africa. I'm talking about all over the world.
Full circle is what we're doing.
It's all over the world. It's North America, South America, Europe, South Africa, Africa, you know, Asia, everywhere. I mean, we have hunting protocols. And if we didn't manage everything, we didn't take care of it, we wouldn't have fucking jobs.
No.
Right.
Yeah, no
way. I wouldn't be an outfitter. You wouldn't be, you know, podcasting about, you know, game.
There'd be nothing to talk about. We'd be fucked.
Yeah. We'd be talking.
I'd be mountain dogs.
Yeah. 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 Be mountain chihuahuas and cats.
Yeah.
Doug would be.
But I mean, it's just like you said, soft Stuart, like
taxidermy
over
specialist.
There, like, if there wasn't people lighted going eyes. Hunting them, you wouldn't have any animals because
there would no value.
There'd be no value on them.
Doug would be in the aphrodisiac industry.
Yeah, Doug would be talking about pussy because that's all he could do.
I'd be hard as a rock.
Yeah,
you'd be rolling. From
I mean, same thing over here. If they issued, just open the tags, free open, whatever you want to do, there'd be no animals.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any fun.
I mean, just a classic thing, just off South Africa. And I remember in the early 70s, you know, when somebody was selling land, a ranch or a we call them farms. It, you know, in the mid early 70s, somebody would go in big, bold writing, wild animals free. So, because you were competing against goat, cattle, and sheep farmers. Mm-hmm. So, you got all these, you got these wild animals. So, if you get rid of them, you know, you don't have to worry about them. You got enough grazing for your cattle, sheep, and your goats, whatever you decide to do. But the hunters came in the later 70s, early 80s, and they're going, well, fuck it. We want to put value on these animals. We want people to come and hunt them. All of a sudden, we're going to start putting all these different species on our properties, and we're going to start looking after them and manage them and start putting high fences around and bring in all the species that were originally here. All of a sudden, we put a value to it. Now, when you buy a property, it's X amount of acres, and then it's got 15 or 20 species of game. It's worth 500 times more than it was in the early 70s when it was free of wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you guys?
The hunters are doing the job.
Wildlife management. Hunters are doing the job. And we're looking after the animals. You take that value away from those animals, what's a farmer going to do?
put cattle on it.
He's going to say, fuck that. I'm going to kill everything on my properties. These things don't have any value. I want my land to, you know, I want my land to produce. Yeah. So I'm going to put cattle back on, or sheep or goats or whatever it is, because I've got 5,000 acres and I wanted to fucking make me money and I want to survive. I've got to put my kids through school and, you know, college.
It's just like, I mean, it's just like every farmer here. Like, I mean, Austin can test this. If he's got 100 acres sitting there, he's going to plant corn, right? You're not going to let it sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. No. You're going to make it earn money.
Well, you're trying to make a return on every acre. I mean,
yeah,
100%.
Today, when you go buy a farm and you have to spend so much money on it, every acre counts. You're going to make a return on that same
You've got to pay the bank.
Yep.
Because you've loaned the money. I mean, none of us have got the cash to just go and buy land cash.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, like, the animals over there are like corn over here, but it's
the same thing.
Value to your land is what it is.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting conversation that needs to happen and needs to keep happening. And, you know, we bounce back and forth. We get lighthearted and get serious. But I think that's important, too. It's like,
it's a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah. Like, we don't want to cram medicine down people's throat. Like, we're lighthearted about it. But everything we're talking about, even though we make jokes in this, it's very serious and it needs to be talked about. More often, and we'll continue to talk about it, and I'm sure we'll cover it too with the clinic in more detail and more condensed ways, and we'll take questions and all that stuff too. But we're about to the end. We've had a wild, fun podcast. This is
it's been everywhere.
So much fun, and that's why in the beginning I'm like, let's just let her flow. And that's the beautiful thing about podcasting.
Love it.
And it's a beautiful thing that doesn't happen on outdoor television, and it doesn't even happen on most hunting related podcasts where we can bullshit and fuck around and then get serious and learn some shit like we do here on Working Class Bowhunter. So
how often do you have a guy fly from South Africa to come see you?
Well, or Texas. Very often.
Don't give it away.
Not very often.
But he flew here from South Africa.
There we go. But I am thankful for everyone's like input on the conversation and the back and forth and the information. It's been great. We're over 3 hours on this, killing it. So I appreciate that, guys.
I think we need a drink.
We probably do need a drink. Stuart, you got anything to close out with? Thank you for spilling all that information, teaching us about Africa, and taking us under your wing for that, by the way.
You know, guys, I love the fact that we can pull in a fantastic taxidermist and, you know, a great bunch of guys, and we can talk about stuff like this bullshit and just brute honesty, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we can do that. And we can have Doug here with his mustache just fucking keeping quiet just to humor us. But,
you're welcome.
But, you know, the fact that I'm so honored to be invited up here to be able to do this and spend the time with these fantastic fellas and you know, learn, you know, their lives as well as they learn my lives, and again having Sam as just this I want to say as all our mentors, because he's just
I'm old.
No, fuck that. I'm only a few years younger than you. But the fact that we have these opportunities to be able to share this with fantastic guys, and
we made the circle.
Exactly, you know. For sure. So I appreciate the offer to come up here and share my thoughts about it. I know maybe I'm just an alcoholic, but I love it.
I love it too.
Hey, real question: are we allowed back in South Africa with you?
I got to talk to my partner.
I got to talk to the people of
South Africa. Hey, you guys have been absolutely fantastic for us, and I just love the fact that Sam hooked us up, and we're on this roll, and I think this is a working class fucking, you know, goal and honor to be involved with, and just live the life and share everything we have with you guys and
100%.
And all the followers and everything like that. So for me, you know, this is more of an honor than, you know, smelling like an African and, you know, working my ass off to get over here, you know, and all that sort of stuff. This has just been fabulous. Thank you.
Live the life. That speaks volume.
Yeah.
Live the life. And we all live the life. Everybody sitting here.
Agreed, man. And thank you for coming in, Sam. We appreciate your partnership.
I love being here.
I'm glad you could make it.
Anything else you want to close with, man? Like Old Barn Taxidermy, G2 Forums, you guys are killing it.
No, you kill it for me every week, and I appreciate you.
I will say, if you want a badass backpack mount, go to this fucking guy right here.
Yeah.
You're talking me into doing my mountain lion that way instead of a full body mount.
I think it'll be epic.
I think a bear will be pretty
good. I was thinking, I'm like, epic. Sam's coming, I hope he brings my mount, but if he doesn't, it's okay, because I know it's going to be badass, and then you walk through the door, I'm like, God damn.
It's pretty sick. No, Old Barn kills it. You guys are on top of the game.
You know, I'm really not very good.
Yeah.
When I listen to your guys' podcast at the beginning, it says really, really not that good. I think about me every time.
I hear you.
I'm really, really not that good.
Hey, you're just doing what you can, the best you can.
I do. I look at every piece and I think, you know, I could have done that better.
Yeah, but to us, man, you're killing the game.
Well, I appreciate it.
No one does the volume you guys do at the quality you guys do at the price you guys do, and that says a lot.
We try very 100%. Hard. So, I've got a team of dedicated people that come there, and I love working with them. They're all youngsters.
I'll tell you this. In the biz. If I can talk to someone and they have an animal they just killed within the day or whatever, and I'm talking to them, I say, go to Old Barn, they don't listen, it bums me out because I know they're going to be disappointed. Yeah. Especially with our bear camps.
Yeah.
Where should I go? You're driving home. You're going through Iowa on your way home. Drop the fucking thing off at Old Barn. Yeah, I'll probably take it. One guy took it back and got a dry tan. He was supposed to get a rug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That happens. You know, there is a lot of great taxidermists.
There is a lot. But
there's a lot of great ones.
But you know what? When you know a good one and you know a great one, and someone's recommending
and he knows
you,
what listen, you're looking for.
Yeah, like, we have a lot of dead animals in our studio. If we're telling you to go to a place, and it, what blows my mind, there's a lot of experienced hunters that have a lot of shit taxidermy, and I look at them, I go, I know what deer look like.
I know.
And you that's look not at what these, a deer looks like. And you're like, yep, that's good.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Just look at your photograph.
Right. Look at the photograph of the deer to it. But whatever,
it's like you always say too, you know, it's like you find a good tattoo artist, you keep going back.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like you find a good taxidermist, you gotta keep going back, you gotta keep that person in your back pocket kind of thing.
Well, they're all artists, you know, and
same thing. I've always said cheating on your taxidermist is almost as bad as cheating on your wife.
It's worse, actually.
It's worse.
Your wife will get over it.
I like how you look at your wife will get over it.
I don't think so.
That taxidermy is forever. Yeah.
No, but I appreciate you guys.
We're 3 hours and some odd change in this. We can say whatever we want about our wives. They ain't going to listen this long.
Hell no.
No one's going to hear it.
Yeah, now the girls are gone.
They're sleeping.
Now that the girls are finally gone, just us guys here.
Mine will fast forward it.
Oh, shit.
Jacob, Austin, what you guys got? Because you guys are sharing one mic. You guys are warned.
Go ahead, big dog.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man.
Hey, congratulations on introducing the victory drive. That's pretty awesome.
That's a staple right there.
I'm pretty stoked about it, man.
You two are just looking into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This is nice. Curious.
Keep talking.
Hey. No one else in the room matters besides me and you, Austin.
Boys' weekend, right?
That's right. Hey.
Iowa.
All right, I like that.
We're going to fucking tear it up. It's going to be great.
Okay.
And, in all seriousness, I do appreciate you guys having me out. This is great. And for the partnership and going forward in the future, it's going to be fucking awesome.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
Austin, final thoughts?
It was awesome podcast. Awesome to have Sam and Stuart in the same room, finally. Been waiting on this for a while. Jordan, glad you could make it, buddy. It's been a fun podcast, and we're going to do another fun one tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of podcasts done this
good
week.
Good times.
We got another one the next day. Eric, final thoughts.
Sam.
Yeah.
Killing the taxidermy game.
Thank you.
Keep doing it.
Thank you.
Stuart, thanks for hosting us in South Africa.
Anytime.
We're going to be back again sometime.
Would love it. Leave the wives, they're too pretty.
Yeah, we got to have a boys South Africa where we like spit and throw rocks
and shit.
And we're going to have that, you know, that dung spitting competition.
Yeah. Doug, I don't really want to ask you.
Thanks for taking my picture, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you. There it is. Finally.
You're
the man.
Finally get some photo creds.
Stuart, thanks for coming. You're the man also.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Kurt, love you guys.
Love you.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you, guys. Super fun. Great conversation. It's what it's all about. Perfect. You can't script this shit. That's what we do. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you, motherfuckers. Peace.
Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.